I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In 2017, the world endured one of the greatest injustices of all time when filming of the third installment of the Sex and the City movies was abruptly and inexplicably shut down. Months later, here we sit, reeling from a lack of closure and struggling with questions that we'll never be able to answer. Living in a world where we're so callously robbed of the final chapter we all deserved is something I simply cannot stand for. Therefore, I, Lara Marie Shainhalls, am taking matters into my own hands, and I'm saving Sex and the City 3. Everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Saving Sex and the City 3. I'm here with Simon Curtis.
Woohoo!
Hi,
hello,
Simon.
Everyone. Hello.
I'm so happy you're here.
I'm giddy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so honored. I am so truly shook. Like, I'm dropping hints that I'm shook.
Yeah. Not only are we both SATC heads, we are crystal sisters.
We just had a 40-minute conversation about crystals.
Yeah.
And I had no idea.
Me neither. And so when you discover each other, it's a real wow moment.
And we're also from Oklahoma.
And that too.
I freaked out when I saw the area code on your phone number. I'm so shook.
Yeah. So things are really falling into place for us. Let's try and tie crystals into Sex and the City. Just for fun. Like, you know a lot about crystals.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had to say which characters, like what crystal is good for each character of Sex and the City, each of our girls, let's say.
What represents them or what would benefit them?
How about let's start with what represents them and then you can say what benefits them.
Okay. For Carrie, I would say a diamond. And that is specifically because she's way more basic than I think she ever wants to think that she is.
Mm-hmm.
But she's still sparkly. Like, there's still something about her that is like radiant.
Yeah.
So
would that make it a real troll that Big gets her the black diamond? Like, if her true spirit crystal is a diamond and he says, here's a black one, is that?
Yes.
An assault on characters.
Absolutely.
Spirit.
Yes.
Soul. Okay.
I feel like
amazing.
They're secretly constantly at war with each other. So that
they
tracks.
Are. It's always a power struggle.
Yes.
I love a rich troll like that.
I mean,
where it's like, I'm going to give you this incredible piece of jewelry, but it's also a huge fuck you.
I mean, that's the best kind of troll that could possibly exist.
Yeah. If anyone wants to troll me like that, I'm in.
I think Samantha would be a ruby. Because that's
love.
Just such an intense, fiery passion stone.
Mm-hmm.
It's also courageous. And she has like more chutzpah than anybody else in the cast.
Totally.
Miranda, I'm going to give her emerald.
Okay.
And if anything, just because she has red hair and like emerald is like, if you have red hair,
it would pop off.
You need to wear an emerald because it will make you just look
like a leprechaun.
I mean, I was going to say like a goddess, but
yeah, that too.
And then Charlotte, she's rose quartz. She's just like, you know, I just think she emanates that. Like I
love home. Like,
I'm also obsessed
nurturing.
With Kristen Davis.
Yeah.
Like, I have somehow weaseled my way into like actual internet friendship with her.
Amazing.
And I just think she's an angel. Like, she is, I love her so much.
She honestly radiates the best energy. Like, I mentioned this before on this podcast, but the Origins Sex in the City, did you listen to that at all?
No.
Okay, I tell everyone about this, but it's like an oral history of Sex in the City. Like, this podcast interviewed everyone involved except Kim Cattrall refused, our queen.
I love her so much.
We stan, but like also just like play ball with us a little bit. Like, I needed her input.
And
but
I have a story. And I have a story that we have to discuss.
So, but Kristen Davis is interviewed for this, and everything she says is incredible. I was just like, God, I love this woman.
Oh my God, I have to listen to it immediately.
And I didn't know that she was sober, which she mentioned.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, she's discussed it a few times on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just think she's such an angel.
She's amazing.
Like, all of her work in conservation, I'm so obsessed with her.
Yeah, a true princess and a queen.
I mean, she just is kind, like, what a treasure.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, what crystals would benefit each character?
I think Carrie would benefit from some smoky quartz, like, okay, really grounding.
Mm-hmm.
She could
put a huge one in her closet. Yes. Just to remind her of how privileged she is.
I also think she needs something for empathy. Because I think if Carrie Bradshaw is lacking in anything, it might be a little bit of empathy.
What's good for empathy?
I'm trying to think right now, like, something that would be like opening. Let's do rhodochrosite. Like,
ooh, what does that look like?
It's bright pink.
Okay.
It's like very vibrant pink, but it's for your heart and like opening those feelings of love and empathy.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
That's both great calls.
Yes.
She could put the rhodochrosite near her computer.
Yes.
So that when she's writing and talking shit about her friend and like weirdly kind of slut shaming them.
Exactly.
She can run it through that like rhodochrosite energy.
I'd be like, oh, no, wait, I'm supposed to love these people.
Yeah, I'm a sex writer. Okay, so that's amazing. Yes. Samantha.
I feel like Samantha could use... I feel like she should have some obsidian in her pocket at all time.
Totally.
Because I feel like there's always so much shit thrown her way that she could use a little help, kind of like energetically just like cutting away and blocking.
Yeah. Because fuck the haters.
Fuck the haters.
Like, let it slide off.
Exactly.
Totally.
Exactly. Miranda, I'm going to give her some pyrite because that just helps with like focus and accomplishing goals, and she's so goal driven. Mm-hmm. And like, she's definitely the hardest worker of the crew. Like, I feel like that would just help her.
Okay.
And then Charlotte, what would Charlotte benefit from? I feel like some amethyst, because amethyst is something that like helps you identify what is other people's emotional shit and mm-hmm. what is yours.
Okay.
And like, instead of just absorbing everybody's, like, it helps like a clearer definition in your head of what you're taking on from other people.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's kind of it's anxiety too.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. She can hugely benefit from
exactly. It's protective, but not in the way that like obsidian is like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I feel like she could put it in her kitchen.
Exactly.
Because that's where like a lot of shit goes down.
My boyfriend and I just watched last night Sex and City 2 in celebration of me doing this.
God, that may that movie live on in all our hearts. Truly. Until the end of time.
But like, driving over here, all I could think of was the cream Valentino.
Yeah. That has been burned into my memory forever. But I feel like she's always getting trolled in the kitchen. Like, wasn't she? She was making like challah bread for Harry's thing when like they got into a fight.
Yeah.
It's like kitchen and dining room, very like domestic kind
that's,
of thing.
Yeah, that's where she found out that Samantha slept with her brother.
Yes.
That's when she like had the moment of realization with her like fake not gay boyfriend with the mouse.
With the mouse, yeah.
Like
where Carrie was leaving his tea bags all over the
place. Yes, yeah.
So she could really, I feel like that's a prime amethyst zone.
They do her wrong in the kitchen. Yeah,
things just won't go right for her.
Oh, wow.
Let's get into
Well, first off,
okay.
Yeah. Because I sent you screenshots.
Oh,
like I.
Wait, we do also need to talk about a huge thing that happened this week, and the story we need to talk about ties into it, which is that SJP did a Super Bowl commercial.
Mm-hmm.
She reprised the role of Carrie Bradshaw to shill Stella Artois.
Which
Carrie's drank a beer one time, and when she was like waiting on a street corner with Aiden. So like,
and probably like shit talked it to her friends, like.
Yeah,
like drinks beer.
Drank
Bye.
Half of it, and then was like, "Oh, the God!" They called her name, and then threw it away.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I'm kind of like,
but I'm so grateful though, just to see Carrie, just to spend a second with her.
I wish the hair was blonde again. I don't understand. Like,
she really fights it. She really fights it so hard.
But it's like, okay, Sarah Jessica, like, yes, your hair can be brunette. Like,
we know.
I'm a brunette too. It's fine. We know.
We've got Frances on divorce. Like, let her be brunette. Yeah. I'm good.
Carrie Bradshaw is blonde.
Wild, untamed, blonde hair.
Blonde, wild,
frizzy,
curls.
Curly. Yeah. But, like, it's iconic.
So that was hard for me because I watched the commercial. I don't watch the Super Bowl, obviously.
I saw the commercial on her Instagram.
I watched it, like Googled it and then watched it. And it just, I don't know.
It got me in my feelings. It got me in my feelings hard because anytime anything comes up with Sex in the City, I'm so deeply, profoundly heartbroken. Like it is something that aches in my soul.
Yeah.
And I think I'm assuming this resonates the same for you
absolutely.
Because we were both about the same age growing up in Oklahoma. But mm-hmm. like Sex in the City was, now that I am in my 30s, I can recognize how much of a life raft that show was for me.
Yeah.
Because like my parents would watch it in the living room and I would go sneak watch it in the TV in the back of the house while they were watching it. Mm-hmm. So like I knew I wouldn't get caught because they're watching it.
Yeah.
And like I just remember because I think I was like, when did it premiered in 97 or 98?
98. Okay.
So I was 12 and like watching that show, that was my first time seeing gay people mm-hmm. on TV. That was my first time seeing like women talking about sex. That was my first time experiencing. I feel like the life that they portrayed on that show was so different from anything that I knew and knew was possible. And I, like, at the time I watched it because I just wanted to see naked guys mm-hmm. and was like, oh, I can see, like, naked dudes.
You can laugh, be interested in people's lives, like, get that drama that you need and see, like, tits and ass. But, so it's the best of every world.
But, like, being a closeted gay boy in Oklahoma, it was so, I didn't even realize at the time how important it was. And it took me through graduating high school, and like that time of my life was so traumatic. Like I was having to like basically like flee Oklahoma for my life, and like looking back, I'm just so grateful that I had that because it's like a piece of art that just gave me so much hope. And so now, like Kim, you know, not doing the movie and, you know, feeling like that there is this whole united effort to like keep it going, but that it's just kind of crumbled and fallen apart mm-hmm. in some way it's so heartbreaking for me. It hurts my soul. So
it was painful.
It's like devastating.
Because you like, I mean, as whatever as the movies are, they're still a huge piece of the puzzle, and I still found them to be supremely entertaining and enjoyable.
Yeah,
like, and I don't care what world you want to put me in, I will live in it as long as I can just like be with my girls.
Yeah, exactly. And like, and also have movies that are fronted by four women. Like, oh my God.
I mean, I pray on a daily basis that everyone will somehow get their shit together.
It's going to happen.
And they will make Sex in the City 3.
I'm clutching all of my crystals right now,
like,
and speaking it into existence.
What
it
crystal
will
do
happen.
We need to get to in our lives to generate Sex in the City 3?
All of them. All of the crystals.
But if there was one that you had to say, like one, like, which one?
I would say quartz, just regular quartz.
Just like
quartz,
regular
because
quartz.
Because that's when you, like, you can, like, program an intention into quartz.
Okay.
And, like, it needs, I just want to, like, make a full altar with pictures of the girls and candles from House of Intuition and, like, be just going in.
Okay, yeah. So if you're also a crystal head, grab your quartz, set that intention, and I'm going to need you to, like, share pictures of your Sex in the City 3 altar with me Instagram.
I desperately need that. But yeah, for me, the Stella Artois commercial, it like had me in my feelings. I was like, oh fuck, I'm about to cry.
I'm just like, I was irritated. Mm. I was just like, look, this is not giving me what I truly desire.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a cash grab. But you know what? You could have also made that money
in a movie,
Sex and the City 3.
Yeah.
So I
went on Twitter the night that I watched it, and I need to look up exactly what I said, just because I feel like this doesn't do it justice unless it's the exact verbiage of what was said. And I screamed. Like,
yeah.
I was like sitting on the couch in the middle of the night. I think it was after midnight California time, and I think Kim lives in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So
she was just up late.
Just up late, looking up her name on Twitter.
The thing is, though, like, about Kim Cattrall is, like, she won't do another Sex in the City, I don't think. I don't think there's anything that will make her do that movie. So I feel like they would probably have to, like, and Samantha Jones's Man. Character.
See, I don't know. I really do. I still have hope, despite everything. I still have hope. So here's what I wrote on Twitter after seeing the Stella Artois commercial with, you know, the dude.
Yeah.
I said SJP needs to stop teasing me with these Carrie Bradshaw commercials. If we aren't getting another movie or revival season on HBO, it hurts too much. Crying emoji. Also, if they want to replace Kim Cattrall with Jeff Bridges, that apparently works just fine. So I tweet that, like, seen by all of, like, four people on Twitter after dark, like, super niche.
Tagged anyone in these?
No one was tagged.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden my phone vibrates, and I look, and I have notifications from Kim Cattrall.
Oh my God.
And it says, like, mentioned on my home screen. And I scream. I jump off the couch.
Wow.
I scream. My boyfriend thinks somebody has died and I can't speak. And I'm just like, it's not serious,
happening.
But it is serious. And I open my phone and Kim Cattrall has responded to that with heart emoji at the Jeff Bridges.
She's giving her blessing.
She just like, she's just, literally writes back. Love Jeff Bridges. Like, the one time in my life I am remotely shady to Kim Cattrall, whom I love
and,
like,
she
and worship
gets involved.
And have tweeted at several times. Mm-hmm. Like, I have tweeted her so many times being like, goddess, I love you. Oh my God. Like, I worship you. Blah, 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 blah. And the one time she responds is in the middle ass of the night, not tagged, to see me shading her slightly.
I feel like she's, like, looking online to see what shit people are talking about the Stella Artois ad. Like,
she had to have been.
She was up late, and she was just like,
fuck
this
bitch.
Let's see what people are saying about Sarah Jessica right now. And then was, like, scrolling through.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. I live for the pettiness. Like,
yes.
If you're not going to give me Sex in the City 3, I guess just fill my life with, like, petty fucking drama between Kim and SJP.
Something, anything.
Like, it's bad. It's a bad look for everyone involved, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
Like, I will take anything except another Stella Artois app. Like, I can't go there. I can't go down this road.
It's too dark. It's too painful.
Also, like, Super Bowl. Like, come on.
I know.
But it's
fine.
I get it. You got to do what you got to do.
I know. Ugh, it hurts. And then I sent a message to Kristen saying that I was doing this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like, wrote back and was super excited because she's an angel. And she was like, I can't wait to listen. Blah, blah,
I hope that they all listen to this podcast.
They will.
And I hope that they love it.
I'm putting it out there. They will.
I hope that they don't get offended by some of the storylines that we've explored for their characters.
I mean, honestly,
because it's a slippery slope, I admit.
It is all homage, though.
But it is. All I wouldn't testament. Do this if I did. If I would not do this if I wasn't obsessed.
How much love does it take to like have a podcast with so many guests and sitting endlessly? Like, there's hours of people just like worshiping these characters enough to it, like at least give
and
them.
Guess
some...
what? If anyone, like, I'm giving you legitimate movie ideas that yes. you could produce.
Yes,
like we are taking everything.
It's
into
all
account.
There.
It's all
and made with
there.
Love. Yeah. like deep. Love and affection.
Speaking of movies they could produce, I'm ready to hear your pitch.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
So for any new listeners, this is how it works, is I have a guest on. They either give me kind of like a log line for the movie or log line for each of the four girls. And then we take it back to the beginning and kind of build from there.
Yes.
So, I will give you the floor.
A couple of admissions before we begin.
Yes.
I took this so seriously. Like,
I love it.
Dead ass seriously. I called.
So you're building like a movie in a real world, or do we have, or just seriously as in like you really just mapped out like.
No, I mean, I really thought about like, what would I want for this series? And I called one of my best friends in Oklahoma, Mandy, and because mm-hmm. she's like, we were in the Sex and the City trenches together back love. In the day. So we had like a 2-hour conversation yesterday. Then I went to visit my boyfriend at work and like extended his lunch break because we were just back in the room like talking and like mm-hmm. we listened to this podcast together, so he was like down and excited to
love.
like hash it out with me. And so yeah, I took this very, very seriously.
Okay,
and
I love it.
I don't know if I'm bending the rules at all.
No, but, I mean, the rules are really there are no rules.
Okay. I believe with all of my heart that Sex and the City 3 should not be a movie. I think it should be a revival bonus season.
Oh my God. Okay.
Because I just truly believe that these characters shine on TV when mm-hmm. you get 30 minutes once a week. And like, then you can sit back and watch it. And that's when you really get the full arc. And I feel like we're in the golden era of television.
Yeah. So it would make sense for them to come back for like a 6-episode, yeah. like special season.
And like, they're giving them, like, TV shows have the budget now.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
TV
true.
Shows look glossy and opulent as fuck right now. So why would we?
And
force
we
them-
could take it back to like more, it's like, I feel like where Sex and the City 2 might have like jumped the shark in some respects is that it was so over the top, like mm-hmm. glossy, shiny, and like
it was very out of touch at the
yeah,
time.
And
especially.
It was not like how I remember the show, which was kind of yeah. a little more gritty and real and like, you know,
even though it wasn't grounded, it
wasn't
still
grounded, but it was not like it wasn't fantasy.
Yeah, there was some semblance of reality enough that you could relate and that it like it took you outside of yourself just enough.
Yeah.
So I really want it back on TV. Like for me, this is a bonus season.
OK,
this is
so like a HBO says season. They're back.
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone signs the deal.
Everyone's
getting what they want.
They
all
took that
the beef is squashed.
Game of Thrones money and mm-hmm. like packed it up in bags and sent it to all of them.
And they said, you each get $50 million yes. to do this.
And Kim is like, the fuck.
And
okay.
they're like, Kim will produce a documentary about your life.
Yes.
And your jazz
whatever
cello playing
you want to do, Kim.
Husband.
Yes.
And she's like, shoo-ba-doo-ba, you
bang.
I love like, well, Kim. He winked at all the she-dogs. And they're like, yes, totally. Zip it now, but like later.
Get on set.
Go on set. Make the season. Then we'll do the doc.
Kim, when you inevitably listen to this, because I'm putting it out there that you will, I love you so much. We love you so much. Do this for us. We're begging through our tears.
Yes, please. All I've ever wanted.
It's the only thing.
Also,
only thing.
If you're mad at this podcast and you're offended and you want it to stop, just make another Sex and the City 3.
And then it can't exist.
Yeah, then it can't exist anymore. It's a win-win for everyone.
Truly.
Okay, so we're in Sex and the City season 7.
Yes.
And this is like, it's a one season return.
Yes. With like just enough of an open door that if everybody loves it, if everybody like I came up with this as full closure, full circle closure, but
okay.
also if they wanted to just, you know, do another one.
Okay, yeah. It's good to get your thinking like an exec there. Yeah, I like exactly. It. Yeah.
Okay, so in this world, which character do you want to start with?
So which any one of them?
So first, also I have to caveat, I listen to this podcast, so like some of people's ideas have taken hold a little bit. Mm-hmm. So like there are a few of them that I listen to and I'm like, oh yeah, that needs to happen.
Okay,
but also like I would do this with it.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically Dan Levy's, some of his ideas I was very, very down with, but I would have just done differently. And I think Jake Wilson's, like, there's like one of his ideas that I was like, I love this, but I would do this with it. So those are fully incorporated into mine.
Great.
So
this is getting meta. It's
yes.
Like a podcast within a podcast.
And like the show gets meta too.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited.
Okay.
So the whole concept for this season is kind of like the reckoning of Carrie Bradshaw.
Yes.
And we'll begin with Samantha in this. I loved in Sex and the City 2 how they kind of kicked the door open a little bit for her and Smith to reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were so flirtatious with each other. They were kind and friendly. And obviously I feel like if you're a fan of the show, like, you know that Samantha Jones is supposed to be with Smith.
Yeah.
Like
they're soulmates.
He didn't like stand by her through cancer to have him just be like callously jettisoned because he outbid her for a ring, like, yeah. That's so I feel like,
but it is a dance of learning how to give Samantha her freedom, mm-hmm. without like making her feel like she's a kept woman.
Exactly.
Like, and he's younger, so I think it would take him some time to mature to that level, mm-hmm. as well. But I like them getting back together.
Yeah. So in this new season,
mm-hmm.
they have started to rekindle their romance. They have started dating again and he proposes, and okay. so they're engaged. So basically very quickly towards the beginning of this, like, the Samantha Jones like walls of vulnerability have come down and they get engaged.
Okay. So, but also, can Smith be like, he's like the most famous movie star on the planet. Okay.
Yes.
He's like Brad Pitt, the height of Brad Pitt.
Yes.
Okay. Like, and he has Oscars. He's like,
he's legit.
He has his own production company. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like on the studio lot or just has like a chic, huge building in Beverly Hills.
He's
like devoted to his
everything.
Like he's doing every single thing that a huge celebrity a la like George Clooney.
Yeah,
would be
doing. He's a mogul. Yeah. Like everything that she never imagined that he could have been when she first met him.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want the full like one sentence storyline for each of them?
Yeah.
Okay. So basically they get engaged and he has a relapse, overdoses, and tragically dies.
Oh my God.
After, because here's the thing, Kim Cattrall needs meat. Like, she needs, like, we can't have her, like, flinging condoms in Abu Dhabi. Like, mm-hmm. she, as an actor, like, she can handle the good stuff. And I think she would only come back to the series if she got, like, give her a death, give her something that she can, like, really go in on. Mm-hmm. And so, I just think that like getting her to the place where she's so vulnerable that she would agree to marry somebody and then tragically losing that person, and especially somebody so beloved by the fans.
Yeah.
It like, I think that's her jumping point.
And I think that we could really shine a light on the opioid addiction and America's problem with opioids.
Yeah.
So that's another huge sell point.
Definitely.
The storyline.
Because I think the series also works best when it's a mirror. And especially in the late 90s, it acted as such a good mirror to society of like things that we needed to talk about. And it's funny because we look back and now and it's so problematic in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the time, it was doing work that nobody else would do.
Yeah.
Like, it was really, really going there with so many things that nobody else would touch. And so I think that it would be necessary to kind of keep those things really relevant if it came back on TV, especially.
Okay.
And Carrie misses the funeral. Carrie does not show up.
Okay.
For the funeral.
Is this like episode one?
I don't know if it's episode one. I'm throwing in just like the season arc
for everybody. Okay, cool.
I'm going to discuss it like as if it were the movie.
Yeah.
But this is a season.
Okay, cool.
So then pivot to Miranda. I was losing my shit when you and Dan were going in about her late life sexual awakening mm-hmm. with a woman. And I think that is absolutely necessary
yeah.
for Miranda.
Totally.
Every other character on the show had at least some sort of same-sex sexual dalliance in some way,
mm-hmm.
except for Miranda. And Miranda was the one that everybody was like,
Where her like law firm people at her law firm thought that she was a lesbian, and then she had to like kind of clear it up. I think she joined like a softball team.
But I feel like Charlotte did drag, like yeah. when you know
Charlotte
when,
did drag and then hung out with like the power lesbians.
Yeah.
Carrie like made out with Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, and then like Samantha fully had a relationship. But you know, like Miranda never went there. So I feel like that's just at this point. And also like her, that character, we never got to see like a sort of like broad sexual awakening with her. We got to see so much development from her in so many ways. And a show that has sex in the title, we never got that from her.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the notion of Miranda, you know, she's at the end of the last movie, she went to a different law firm. I feel like there she's doing a bunch of pro bono work.
Yeah.
Steve is super successful as a restaurateur mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
And I think Scout is...
Scout is big enough to be like, there's a bar in New York. There's a bar in LA.
Yes.
I think that they have opened like a outpost in Vegas.
Yes. And like, with this movie, this is a jumping point where they're about to be franchised.
Okay.
Like they have like the big mega corporation that runs like Outback Steakhouse or mm-hmm. whatever.
And like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes. And they're about to franchise
and make them multi-millionaires.
Yeah. Like it's going to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we start the season with her exploring her comfortability with Steve being the primary breadwinner, which I think at this point in life she is, because yeah. it's given her more opportunity to be with her family and all of these things. And
plus she's still like an attorney, so exactly. she's making like good money.
Exactly.
Like it's not like she's dependent on him for like
exactly
survival.
But also I think at this stage she is somewhat bored mm-hmm. for the first time, and she meets Stephen Aiden's corporate attorney who is navigating their pathway to franchising Scout, and she for the first time is feeling some kind of way for another woman.
Okay.
She's intrigued by this powerful charismatic woman mm-hmm. who clearly like looks at Miranda in the eyes and is like, oh, I see something in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just like that electric seduction chemistry that it like for and, the first time ever throws Miranda.
Yeah. And they can talk law a little bit. Like exactly. that's kind of their in, because mm-hmm. Miranda's like, oh, well, I like it can ask about some sort of contract thing. And then she's like, oh, I knew you practiced. Like, what firm were you at? Mm-hmm. And then they kind of like spar on that, but in like a friendly, like sexy
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And it's like, it's also, you know, there is a level of respect that Miranda never had for Steve. It took her a long time to really respect him and see him as an equal.
Yeah.
And to like meet somebody who's intriguing but is immediately like she subconsciously takes as her equal, or even somebody who could put her in her place a little bit. I feel like that would really seduce her and really kind of throw her, especially at this point in life where she's kind of bored. I mean, not unhappy, but just like,
I feel like it's the kind of thing where you didn't understand that something was missing until mm-hmm. you're staring it in the face.
Exactly.
Where it's like, life is so good. She has no complaints. And then like, all of a sudden she meets this woman mm-hmm. and then it's just like,
and I feel like all of the characters were really thrown off guard at some point where they kind of get that like tingly moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got that from Miranda, because Miranda was always so like, she had her shit in check and she had her walls up high.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is the first time that like we get to see Miranda totally thrown.
Okay.
So then for Charlotte, I am so deeply obsessed with the notion that Lily is now 16 and is rebelling.
Yes.
Like Lily is like, fuck you, mom. I think Lily at this point is really struggling with her identity.
Mm-hmm.
She has been raised by a very wealthy white Jewish family in Manhattan and is, you know, she has a sibling who is the biological daughter of both her parents. So I feel
like also maybe Charlotte is having another kid or has had like even another one beyond Lily and Rose.
Oh, wow.
To just like drive it home.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden she's fertile. So she's just like taking advantage.
Whoa. I think Charlotte's main journey in this, I have always seen Charlotte's character arcs. It's always been a test of her self-worth, like her always questioning her viability first off as like somebody worthy of getting engaged to, then like the question for her was, well, now that I'm a wife, am I a good wife? And then it was, well, now that I am a wife, am I going to be a mother? Am I a valid wife because I can't get pregnant? And then in the first movie, it was, you know, like, oh, this is like, I am now a mother, but am I a good, or sorry, the second movie, like, yeah. Am I a good mother?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there were always, every time she leaps ahead, there's this new obstacle making her question her ability to do these things that she's always dreamed of, which is to be a good mother and a good wife and to have a family.
Yeah.
And I think at this stage with a teenager who was adopted, it's now the question has become, oh, well, am I actually her mother?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I a good mom? Like, is she always going to think of me as her mom, knowing that she has a biological mother out there somewhere?
Yeah.
And I think Lily has started asking questions, and Lily knows, like, Lily's smart and she's looked up the laws and has, like, the inciting incident for Charlotte is Lily being like, mom, I got the address for the blah, blah, blah. I want to find my birth mom and connect. Mm-hmm. And I think that sends Charlotte into a tailspin. And I think that has one of her rare moments where she gets flustered and is like, no, why would you think that? You know, like it really throws her and puts her in a position, even for the first time where she has conflict with Harry, because I think Harry is going to be like, Char, you can't do that. Like this,
like she like can.
Lily has questions, and like you're always going to be her mom, no matter what happens. And I think Charlotte is just freaked out. Like it has undermined her sense of validity as a mother.
Yeah,
and I think she's so thrown by it that it even gets to the point where it creates conflict with Harry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, love that.
And so I think in that her plot point with all of this is she herself reaches out and gets connected to Lily's birth mother. And also one of the things I want this season to do is to kind of address all of the problematic shit that the show and movies have done.
I love.
Because I think even if it's just like a wink and a nod of acknowledgement, and I think Charlotte needs to have a bit of an awakening and like having these like assumptions that Lily's mother would be like this very poor person in China, and then find out that no, her mom is like, her birth mother is like the VP of the Bank of Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Like she's like a full blown, like well-to-do woman with like her own empire over there. And so she gets in touch with her and she gets invited to go and meet her.
Amazing.
Now, Carrie, at this point, we open with, at this point, she just takes Big for granted, as she always does. Whenever he's not, like, whenever he's not running away, she just treats him like shit and takes him for granted.
And is, like, annoyed and frustrated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, the movie, or the show, opens with, she is executive producing or fully producing Sex and the City, the series.
Okay.
Like HBO has optioned her books.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the previous potential movie deal with Matthew McConaughey back in the day. Like at this point, she's a huge fucking deal. Like she's a best-selling author. Like she has her own empire in her books and is kind of a cultural staple on her own.
Mm-hmm.
So she has been approached to do this TV show and she's producing it. So she is like full hands on deck. She is in control of it and she's excited and she's pouring herself into it. She's completely focused on making this TV show now. And Big is kind of getting lost in the shuffle with that. Like in the beginning, he's retired. He's done with his day-to-day Wall Street life, and he's ready to like actually spend time with her. And I think he needs to, when it opens, like he needs to ask her to like, he got tickets for them to go on a trip or something.
Yeah, he wants to go on vacation and like take a week to go and just like relax somewhere.
Yes. And so basically, the one sentence version of Carrie's journey this season is she takes Big to set where they're filming the Sex and the City show. And then around the time, we'll hash it out when it actually happens, but around the time of Samantha's funeral later, or of Smith's funeral, like that she's attending for Samantha, she sees on Big's phone that he is having a full, some sort of like text relationship with the actress who plays Carrie on the show.
Amazing.
And is so devastated that she gets on a plane or holes up in her old apartment, but she cuts herself off and falls into this like devastation and misses Smith's funeral and is confronted with Samantha at the big opening of the new Scout location with the big investor there. Mm-hmm. And they have this giant fight that is basically the destruction of the friend group for the first time.
Okay.
And is also the first time Carrie is called a narcissist and called out for like not being there for her friends. And it's like the total dissolution of all of them as friends.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important if the show comes back to show like them like the primary conflict needs to be, oh, they're not friends anymore. Mm-hmm. Like something devastating has like severed their friendship, possibly permanently, because I think that needs to be the stakes. Like that as a fan would get me being like, fuck, they better not end this with them not being friends.
Yeah.
Like I will like die if they are not friends by the end of this.
Okay.
And everything comes to a head. Everything leads up to the big premiere, the Sex and the City, the series premiere.
Okay.
On Sex and the City.
Love.
And do you want me to go into like the resolution? Because I have the resolution.
Let's like, we'll leave that there. Okay. And let's now like go back to the beginning and kind of start it off. And I feel like for the purposes of just like this podcast and storytelling, we'll kind of tell it like as though it's a movie or whatever, like not be going episode to episode.
Of course,
but just,
definitely.
Like, this is all going to happen.
Yes.
As though it's released on like HBO. And whoever, if you want to do it, they can figure
yes,
it out.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I feel like it opens up with like, of course, it's like New York City at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like glamour, wealth, and like sparkling lights of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe like a big shot up towards like the Boom Boom Room.
Mm.
And that is where it's revealed that Smith and Samantha have gotten engaged.
Yes.
And we're at their engagement party.
Yes. Opening with an engagement party.
Yeah.
Is perfect.
I think opening with the engagement, and that's like a star studded, like celebrity, mm-hmm. like VIP affair.
Yes.
Like maybe it is, maybe it's also around the time of the Met Ball or whatever. Mm. So it's just like a lot of like excitement and kerfuffle is going on. And all of the girls are there with their significant others,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like toasting to Samantha.
And this is a great opportunity, I feel like, for celebrity cameos, because
totally.
I love when they do that. It's mm-hmm. always so, like, I feel like J-Lo should be there.
J-Lo is absolutely there.
Like, she was like, they just put Samantha in J-Lo outfits for the entire duration of the series. So like, I feel like that needs to have like,
yeah.
Nice
and
dress.
I feel like Samantha and J-Lo would be friends IRL. Like they, cause like, Samantha still works in PR.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just, like, the hottest woman in PR in the entire world.
Yeah.
And Smith is, like, the most eligible bachelor and, like, also huge movie star.
Yeah.
Okay, so J-Lo's there.
Kim is there.
Kim is there. Well, Kim Cattrall.
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian is there. Kanye is there.
Yes.
A-Rod is there. It's like every couple.
Yes.
It's not really an event for like single people.
Yes.
And I feel like Carrie could even say that. Like,
she should.
She's like giving a toast and she's like looking around like, I knew all these girls when we were like three, four single women in our 30s in Manhattan. And now I look around and there's not a single person in sight. I don't know if that means we made it or if we need to make some bad decisions. And like,
ooh, I love that. Oh, that's perfect.
And everyone laughs. And the band's like, and then
little
like,
do you know.
Yeah. Like, then she's like, but all that being said, like, I'm so happy to see like love and like blah, 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 like something great about love. And like, here's to Smith and Samantha.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that Samantha, does she have like a rock on her finger? Or like, what is the ring situation?
I feel like she should, but I feel like she should also make a joke that they each bought their own rings.
Yeah.
She, like that was the thing that they did, like mm-hmm. as an like to honor her independence. Like,
yeah, like the girls are all like sitting around like after the toast. I feel like you would see Carrie's toast and then Miranda could say something mm-hmm. and then Charlotte could say something just to like kick it off on a really like emotional note.
Yes.
And then you see like a celebrity giving a toast. Like, I think Brad Pitt is there.
Yeah.
And he, of course, needs to make reference to like his divorce that's mm-hmm. happening. But then... oh, but then he would be, well, he's with like a date or someone. And then it kind of pans over just like mid his speech, because who cares, to the girls. And they're sitting
celebrity
around.
Montage.
Yeah. Like, I like just treating celebrities like we need them there, but we also like they're
we
not
care
the
about
true
like Charlotte Miranda,
here, yeah.
like not them.
And so the girls are all admiring Samantha's ring and they're like, oh my God, like, what is it? And she's like, 14 carats, uh-huh. like blah, blah, blah. And then Charlotte's like, well, where did he buy it? And she's like, he didn't buy it. I bought it. And he bought his.
Exactly.
And like, she's like, we're doing this like our way.
Exactly. And Charlotte's like, oh, Samantha. Like the admonishment.
Yeah. And she's like, well, don't you want like the ring? And then Carrie's like, I mean, sometimes a ring can be good and sometimes it can be bad. And like... And so you get like
so
the sense
beautiful.
That like, and then how did Smith propose? Like, do we?
I don't think we need to know.
Yeah,
I think it should just be so clear that they're together, they're in it, in love, and they're doing it on their terms.
Mm-hmm. And they're having like a beautiful New York wedding.
Yeah. And like, and he's moved to New York. His office is based out of New York. Mm-hmm. They're not having to schlep to LA. She hates LA.
Yeah.
It's, you know, like it's all, everything has lined up in both of their lives where they like all of the obstacles are cleared and they're together and so happy in love.
Yeah. And then we can have like Carrie and Big like dancing at one point and like looking over.
She needs to be so distracted. He needs to be trying to dance with her, but like she is on her phone answering emails. Like it's, we don't fully know yet what's going on, or somebody could like be like, so Carrie, what's going on with the show?
Yeah.
Like to introduce the fact that she is like making the Sex and the City
totally.
TV show.
I think like while she and the girls are talking, she gets a phone call and you see her, and it's jarring because too, like, she was never a phone person.
Exactly.
So now she's like pulls out her phone. It's like a diamond encrusted iPhone.
Yes.
And like
crack
and
screen.
She's like, I have to take this. Yeah, totally crack screen.
Like,
or maybe
half.
She's the kind of person that never puts like a case on her iPhone and it's a cracked screen. And then yes. someone's like, your screen, honey, is cracked. Like, and then she's like, I can't do a case. I don't want it. And Samantha's like, well, you always have to use protection with the iPhone. Like, have a little joke like that.
Yes,
and
perfect.
Carrie's like, all right, like, I have to take this. And so then we hear, like, in voiceover that she's in the midst of producing yes. this series about all her books and, like, blah, blah, blah. And she's, like, navigating all the shit that of course, always comes up when you have to deal with.
And she's
like,
a full-time producer now. Like, she before had the luxury of being an author, which is just holding yourself up in your house by yourself.
Yeah, but like, she's like screenwriting and producing for this show.
For the first time.
About like her own life.
Exactly.
Yeah, so she's like fully has gone inwards and investing in herself.
Yes.
And as she's like, she's on the call, like in the hallway or wherever the fuck, and you see that time has passed in this party.
They should all, I think there should be a moment where they're all the girls, like Charlotte and Harry, Samantha and Smith, and Miranda and Steve, they're all dancing together. It's a slow song. The band has slowed the evening down, and Big is standing there by himself. Like, mm-hmm. I think that scene should end with Big just like looking at them like, just a brief little glimpse of him seeing the three other girls dancing with their men, and Carrie's nowhere to be found.
Totally. I was going to say, like, he's having a drink at the bar and he sees everyone dancing, and then he goes to find Carrie and he's like, hey, kid, like, can we, like, can I get you on the dance floor? And she's like, holding up a finger to him. And
so
like,
dismissive.
He's trying to like kiss her and she's just like,
yep.
Not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like swatting.
She's wearing
away.
Some obnoxious hat and he nudges it and she's like,
yeah. And like she's like, can you not?
Yeah.
And like, and then she basically shoos him away.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
This is this like romantic moment because she just has to like be on her show. And so we see him, he's hurt by this behavior. Yeah. Then
their next scene, it needs to be like the morning in their apartment. She's still on her phone and he's like, hey, kid, what do you think about going to blah, blah, blah? And has like booked this trip with them to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
He's booked it because like Paris has never circled back for Carrie since the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he has booked them like this romantic weekend in Paris. And, you know, and that kind of was like the beginning of their actual relationship.
Yeah. Paris is a loaded place.
It's a loaded place. And I think he knows that. And he's like kind of really trying to rope her back in. And I think in that moment, like she again dismisses him and she's like, I just don't have the like, I can't like, what?
Yeah.
She's
like, maybe it's his birthday. And she, like, she comes in the room, like, singing, like, a happy birthday to you song and gives him a gift. Like, gives him, like, a pair of diamond cufflinks or just something that's, like, a standard rich people birthday gift.
Yes.
And
they're vintage.
Yeah. She's, like, kind of straddling him and kissing him. And he's, like, she's, like, well, what do you think of the cufflinks? And he's, like, I like them, but I had something else in mind. And she's, like, well, what do you want? Like, we can do
it's
anything
your day.
You want. It's your day. Like, you say it, we'll do it. And then he's, like, I want to go to Paris.
I booked us 2 first-class tickets. We leave at 8. We're staying at the blah, blah, blah.
Like, has had it all mapped out. And it's, like, classic Carrie that it's someone else's like day, but she gets like all the great like benefits of
exactly
that. Like she's getting the present of his birthday trip. And she's like, to pair like now, like I would go now. And he's like, well, yeah, like we'd go leave this weekend and spend like 4 or 5 days and then we could come back. And she's like, gets pissed that he did it.
Yeah.
Like she's actually mad at him.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what it should be. I think he should have already booked the tickets.
Yeah.
Because I think he should be trying to do classic Big, sweep her off her feet.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just shows up and is taking her. And I think he's like very much telling her like, we leave tonight and it's going to blah, 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 blah. And that is what she...
And she's like...
It starts almost like a fight.
Yeah.
And she's
like, I think she takes it personally as though like, you don't respect me. You don't respect my job. It's always on your terms. Like she's taking it completely the wrong way.
Exactly.
Where he was just like, I actually just want to spend time with my wife. Mm-hmm. And like, I thought this would be a really fun, like short trip for us. And
she needs to have a line, something to the effect of like, just because you're retired doesn't mean that blah, 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 blah. Like she needs to throw it in his face that he's home there all the time now.
And yeah.
That,
and home like, watching TV.
And we need to see that she's annoyed by that.
Yeah.
And that also she is taking that as like, well, I'm really busy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And like in this super personal way, that's just like about her making this show and taking that so much more important than their relationship.
Yeah. And I think that she's like, okay, well, I'm like, I have to go into the office, like, There's like work to be done, but
we're in pre-production.
We're in pre-production, so it's like a whole thing.
Using words that she's never used before.
Yeah, and then she's like, I mean, then the fight kind of like it kind of simmers down. Mm-hmm. Like they both end that scene on like a note where they're like, she's like, I didn't mean to like get mad or whatever, like. It's your birthday, like, mm-hmm. why don't you come by the office and I'll take you to lunch? And she's like, we can go to a French restaurant.
Yes.
That's, and like, yes. And so that's how we like get him to set or like see the pre-production.
Yes.
Stuff. So he's like, okay. And so then we see her, Carrie's off like in pre-pro.
Mm-hmm.
I guess like they're probably making like big casting decisions at this point.
Yeah, I think they should be, I want to see them when they are filming, because I want Big to show up as they are filming. It could be like day one of shooting, or it's like, it's actually happening. And I think he needs to show up and her be like, see, I haven't been making all of this up. Like, see how busy I've been? See what's happening? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one of those type of moments, like actually see it happening.
Okay, cool. So we don't like follow, but in the show, it like, obviously it's a whole season. So yes. Like you'll see all of this.
Exactly.
So skipping forward, like eventually he'll be on the set.
And yeah.
I think so now.
Like if this were the premise of the show, I feel like there would be a whole episode. I feel like it would be something good for Carrie to explore, like aging. And she's literally having to cast the younger version of herself.
Yeah, traumatic.
And that's something that's like, for her, super traumatic. Because she's still running around New York in these outfits. And
the outfits like, are like, they're on the edge.
Yes.
Like, I mean, that Stella Artois outfit was
like, she's a slip away from Moira Rose at this point. Like, she's...
It's right there. Yeah. A fingerless glove.
Yes.
Is bold.
It's about to happen.
A fingerless glove and a shrunken blazer is a lot for me to handle.
Carrie's about to be Moira. But yeah, so I think that needs to be like, that's something too, is like casting the younger version of herself and like that, like that whole thing.
Totally. Who is playing all these actresses? Who's playing Carrie and the girls?
Who do you think?
I mean, I immediately think like Jennifer Lawrence is playing Carrie.
She would make such a good Carrie Bradshaw.
She'd make a good Carrie Bradshaw.
She would make such a good Carrie Bradshaw.
She can do her hair curly she like can. That.
And she has like, she has that kind of brevity, that kind of like, she's serious, but also not serious and so charismatic. And yeah.
She would be, I think, a really we're doing one. J-Law as Carrie.
Or do you think she would be Samantha though? Because somebody has to be like, so it has to be somebody confident to like give us Samantha.
I like her as Carrie. Okay. And I think like Samantha, like.
It's so tricky. These characters are so special that it's like, it's.
Honestly. Oh, what?
What if Samantha was like Zoe Kravitz? Like.
Yeah. Zoe Kravitz could be her, or Zoe Kravitz could be Charlotte. And I have a really wild suggestion for Samantha, but hear me out.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway.
Whoa. Okay. Okay. I'm
like
down.
A comeback as like a, just a sexy, like,
and I think that would also lend credence, like having people like Jennifer Lawrence and Anne Hathaway, like mm-hmm. having these big movie stars, that this is like prestige HBO.
Yeah.
Like, HBO does like Big Little Lies
this
and
just
like
Big
movie
Lies
stars
adjacent.
Show up to do these big budget like mm-hmm. miniseries on HBO. Okay,
yeah.
That's perfect.
Zoe Kravitz is Charlotte.
Yes.
And Miranda is.
Ooh, Miranda. I feel like I should have all of these in the back of my pocket, but it's such a, it's like, I feel like it's such a delicate thing because
no,
I treasure
hard.
These characters so much. Who would I want to be seeing, like, as a lawyer? As
I'm, like, trying to think of anyone that's, like, young actress 30s that I also see as, like, lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Jillian Bell.
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone. Yeah, I thought of that. Like, redhead.
Yeah. Let's go with Emma Stone.
Okay.
Let's do Emma Stone.
I love.
I think.
Plus, she and J-Law are friends IRL.
Yes.
So. It works.
Yes.
Okay. So I love this.
Yes.
Because all the three actresses, aside from Anne Hathaway, are kind of in the same age range. And then Anne is a little older, which is mm-hmm. how it goes with Samantha, too.
Yes, exactly.
And Anne is blonde, obviously.
Amazing.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So that's like a whole episode where Carrie has to deal with like yes. young versus old, mm-hmm. like, and they all have input on their characters.
Yes.
And I think this is also a point where Charlotte can be like, we can have like a moment of like problematic
woke Charlotte
where it's like, yeah, we need like, this is a story like modern day. Like people have pointed out that that's like, I like talk about only mm-hmm. white women all the time. And it's like all white people in this thing.
And so. New York isn't all white. Yeah. Like it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And so
that's so good. And it brings right to the forefront. And like,
that's a full episode.
Yes.
That we're not getting into now, but yes. That's what it is. So we cut to Miranda, I think.
Yes.
And she is
at their house.
At their house. Yeah. Playing with Brady. Mm-hmm. Magda's there, of course, like puttering around, like folding things.
Yes.
But she's more just like part of the family now than like a real
exactly.
like hired employee.
Mm-hmm.
And Miranda's like happy. She's like a very chill, relaxed life. Like she's kind of like a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Brady also, what? She wouldn't necessarily be playing with him because he's also like 16
he's
years
a teenager.
Old. Yeah.
She could be like playing a video game with him or like trying to understand something. Like, I feel like she's chummy with her son.
Yeah, they're chill. Like, maybe they just went on like, they're getting home from going like a mother son.
Yes, which is like wild
day.
For Miranda in the past because like in the previous movie, it was, I made it. I never make it.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe she just had taken him on a trip. Like, I think for one episode, she takes him on a trip to go look at colleges because he's like thinking about where he wants to go to school.
Yes.
And then she has to deal with like, oh my God, like, pretty soon, it's just going to be like me and Steve alone.
Exactly.
And Brady's going to
yes.
be off. And Steve couldn't make it to the college tour because of everything that's
so
going
busy.
On with Scout.
They're prepping the
so
new Scout opening.
So she took Brady. And so that'll be her storyline for a whole
yes.
episode is like
yes.
looking at schools. And they're getting home, like just getting home from mm-hmm. the airport after like looking at all these colleges. And Steve, like, comes home, it's later that night, and he gets home for dinner, and they're talking about like, are they having the woman, his lawyer, over to like talk
yes.
out business deals?
Yeah, she's coming to the house.
Okay,
or they go out to dinner with her.
Yeah, they have dinner with her
yeah.
like later that night.
Yes.
And that is when we see who's playing this lawyer.
Oh my God, it's, I mean, the first name that came to mind was Penelope Cruz, but
she's already been in this world.
I know, she already showed up. But I mean, that doesn't necessarily matter, but
it
was the previous movie, so yeah. I don't think we should, but it needs to be somebody like so totally vivacious. Maybe Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, I like that.
Because she needs to be so enigmatic.
I want her back in my life in a major way.
On Sex and the City.
Yeah. Like, so Catherine Zeta-Jones is the corporate lesbian lawyer.
Yes.
I love it.
And she has such a like chummy, friendly relationship with Steve. Like they're clearly like buddies at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And Miranda's always hearing about this woman, but like she's not threatened by her at all. And like then she meets her.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And so they're all out to dinner and kind of going over contract stuff.
Mm-hmm. And also just kind of talking about, like, are you ready for your life to change? Like, talking to her and Marit, like, this is, you know, this is going to be a completely different thing for you guys. You know, Steve, you're going to be traveling around the country, checking in on the openings of all these places. Like, you're about to be very, very rich. Like, you know, are the dynamics. And I think that's a good opportunity for us as an audience to see Miranda, that Miranda has kind of taken more of the reins with their family. Mm-hmm. And Miranda can be like, you know, she's like, you know, we've really come to a place where, you know, like I've been able to step back with work a little bit as Steve is bubble. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think she's like, I think even maybe the, Catherine's age, what's her name? This lawyer's name, Adelaide?
Arabella.
Arabella, love. So Arabella's like, kind of even like prying as far as like, are you like, what's it going to be like with like Brady out of the house? And then mm-hmm. Steve is going to be on the road a lot. Like, I'm sure you'll be excited to travel with him to all these. And she's like, travel? Are you kidding me? Like, mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to being home alone, reading.
With my Chinese takeout.
With my Chinese takeout and the cat.
Yes.
Because they have a new cat. Yeah. Fatty died.
Poor Fatty.
Poor Fatty. RIP. Gone but not forgotten.
Fatty Jr.
Yeah, Fatty Jr. And like, and so then we get the sense that it's like, oh, okay, so their relationship is pretty much going to be like living separate lives.
Yeah.
Like once Brady's in college, like Steve's going to be off and Miranda's at home. And so, and then I think Arabella can be like, well, that's cool that you guys have like separate lives, mm-hmm. essentially. And then I think that there's just a moment of like
eye contact
that is flirty,
and it's enough to shake Miranda. Like, we can see that she's shaken by that.
Yeah. Do you think Steve notices?
No, not at all.
No. Okay.
Because I think he's like, yeah, this is great. Like, he's, you know, he's made friends with this lawyer and his wife is a lawyer. And yeah. Like, and he's, oh, like, my gosh.
So I think he's like, and he's riding high.
He, like, I don't think Steve ever believed before that he would be this successful. And yeah. This is like a dream come true to him.
Totally. And so he's oblivious to like what's going on. And I think when they're like walking home or in the cab home, he's like, you guys seem to really hit it off. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I knew you would. And I knew you would like each other. And like,
and she's like, yeah.
And she's like, yeah, she's great. She's so smart and awesome. And I think Arabella like asks her, you know what? Okay. I think that Miranda brings up like some of the pro bono work that she's doing. And yes. Arabella says like, I would love to lend my time to some of that. Like, here's my card. Why don't we get lunch next week? And you can tell me more about it. Cause I'd love to find a way to like work with you on some of these issues.
And Miranda's like, Yeah, I will.
Okay. So they have like another date like on the books, yes. essentially. And Steve's just jazzed that they're like hitting it off and they're like BFFs.
Yes.
Then I think we see Samantha with like wedding preparation.
Which is wild. Like,
which is wild because it's going to be over the fucking top.
And it's like, I feel like Samantha's still up to her tricks. Like, the bachelorette party should have like dildos as invitations. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it should still have that like wink to like super sexual Samantha. And like also acknowledging that like, yeah, she's doing this, but it's completely on her terms.
Yeah. And I think we see her planning with like, I mean, maybe she hires like Anthony or someone just to get him like in the mix
of
course. Do the bachelorette party.
Yes.
And we see her like putting together like invitations, and like in each box for an invitation for the bachelorette party, it's like a sex box or whatever.
Exactly.
So you see them kind of planning this and get the sense that like Samantha's doing this her own way.
Exactly.
Like, she's still a powerful woman. She's in her office. Like, this is her lunch meeting or whatever. Like, mid-morning.
Exactly.
Tea. And
I think
like she has like a ear, like a Bluetooth headset on like one ear. She's like FaceTiming someone and doing this. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think we should show the bachelorette party and at the same time, like concurrently, Smith is having his bachelor party.
Yeah.
And at that moment, that's when we get the first sort of glimpse that something is amiss with him. Like, maybe she could get a phone call and he's like clearly not well, or like something, like, or she like sees, like, somebody lets her know that there's like tweets about like something that is happening. Like, I feel like that's going to be the moment. Like, it's celebratory and she's doing like she's finally getting married, but also there, it's foreshadowing that like, ooh, something isn't right.
Yeah,
there.
I love that. So I think also, like, we cut from her kind of doing these invitations mm-hmm. to then Charlotte opening one of the boxes. So you can yes. see like what's inside of it, and she's like at her house, and it's like the 24 karat gold encrusted dildo yes. that was on Goop, and like all this like sex stuff, and Charlotte's like, oh my god, and then you hear like mom, and it's Lily, and then yes. Charlotte's like putting the box down, like, and I think also Samantha's doing like a travel moment for her bachelorette, so they're going to like a private island yes. somewhere.
I love that.
Like, they're going to like Richard Branson's private island. Yes. and then you hear like Lily calling out, and Charlotte's like, hi, honey. And then you get to see that they're like not getting along.
Yeah. Like, Lily's coming home from school, throwing her backpack, and she's like, did you hear back from the agency? Like, mm-hmm. referencing the adoption agency. And Charlotte's like, well, sweetie, I wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, what's there to talk about? I want to know that, you know what,
like
we've
talked about it so much. Like, I literally have gone to like therapy with you about this. Like, what is the holdup?
And she's like, well, sweetie, I just don't understand why it needs to be right now. I mean, you're only 16 and da, da, da. And that, it's just like, boom, like, fuck you, mom, fight.
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe you're being such a bitch about this, mom.
Yeah, like, and like slams
you don't
her
understand.
Door.
Mm-hmm. And like, and Charlotte really doesn't understand.
No.
But she's just so freaked out. And I think Harry needs to either be home or come home from work later and kind of hear what's going on and be like, Char.
Yeah. Like, he comes home from work. She tells him, like, Lily's already called him to like try and talk to him about what's mm-hmm. going on. And like, then he and Charlotte have like a talk about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, you really need to, like, this is not a fight that you're going to win.
And also just letting her know, like, I think he's always so good with her and always sees what she's going through so mm-hmm. clearly. Like, I think that's a moment for him to really just let her know, like, you are still her mother.
Yeah.
And also, like, Lily wants me to give her this information, but like, you've put me in a position where I'm having to tell her no, because I'm not going to undermine you, but I really want us all to get on the same page with this.
Totally.
And she's like, no, it's not going to happen. Like, she's like having a weird moment of like, she's just not getting it.
Yeah.
And is frustrated.
I think Lily has also gotten in a lot of trouble. Like, I picture her, yes. I think she's gotten like arrested for shoplifting.
Yes,
she's
definitely.
Like smoking pot. Yeah. Like, she snuck out
she's
a few times.
Like, she's
yeah.
Vaping.
She's like vaping.
She's fully vaping.
And like, Charlotte's had to confiscate her jewel like 10 times.
And it has like,
and I think that
like
could
dirty
be
stickers all over it.
Yeah. Like part of the episode of like our younger selves versus our older selves.
Yep.
That's like the, when we realize like, oh, Lily's like getting in a lot of trouble, and we get like this jewel story.
Yeah. And then Carrie needs to be like, what's a jewel? And like, think about, like, it's like a USB stick. Like,
yeah,
there
and Carrie
whole
gets also addicted to the jewel.
Yeah.
But then Big is like, gives her an ultimatum that's like, yeah. No more jeweling.
What is this?
Yeah. Like, what are you trying to do here?
Love Carrie Bradshaw with a jewel.
Yeah. Because you know she would be all about jewel life.
<would.
laughs> Yeah. So.
Jewel life. She gets a Cosmo flavor.
Like. Yeah, she like loves her jewel. And like, Charlotte gets really mad because like, oh, she's in like a jewel war with
yeah.
Lily.
The jewel. Oh my god, I'm gonna lose it.
So I think part of also Charlotte like not wanting Lily to break away is because it's like, she's already exhibiting so much like ferocious independence. It's like, mm-hmm. if I give her more of this, like, she's just going to get farther and farther away.
Or like, any inclination that I am not her mother, then I've lost her completely.
Yeah.
Like, I will never get her back. Like, mm-hmm. I think she views that as like the final step of her, like, really being driven home that she's not a mother or that she's not a good mother.
Yeah. Totally. So then Harry, they kind of decide, I think like, I think maybe then they go on the bachelorette trip to like Richard Branson's island and decide somewhere along the lines of that trip, Charlotte realizes like, okay, I need to just like,
she should have like on the trip alone in her hotel room, like showing her sending the email to the agency, like requesting the information and like getting on that trip, getting the email, like the bling on her phone. And it's Lily's birth mother from China, like connecting.
Yeah, we need like, and there needs to be some sort of other, like maybe like mother storyline or something like that. Maybe like Samantha talks about her mom or something, or like they had a really bad relationship and like her mom's not coming to the wedding or some sort of thing where she gets like kind of, she gets to hear a different perspective from a woman that she really respects who's had like mom issues.
And also saying her, like, if I had half the mom that you are, I would still be talking to my mom. Like I've seen what I've been there since Lily was a baby, and you are her mother. So, you know, I feel like she should have all these voices reiterating to her, you know, like, girl, you are a good, devoted mother. This won't change anything. And she's just not hearing it.
Mm-hmm. So then I think that there, over that bachelorette weekend, there's like some sort of blind item floating around about like which A-list actor was seen like snorting some substance or spending a lot of time in the bathroom. Like he may be getting hitched soon, but he's also rekindling like a bad romance with an old flame.
Yeah.
AKA like the wagon. Heroin. Yeah. So yeah. And then I think Samantha like doesn't want to believe it at first.
She's in total denial.
And then also I think asks him, and he's like, they're just rumors, babe, like it's fine, like everything's fine. And like she has no choice but to trust him,
of course.
And then he dies.
I think that should be like the next thing is,
is that it happens just quickly, unexpectedly.
I think it should be the end of the trip. Like, I think it should be like, wake up to the news the next morning. Like, they're not even in town when it happens. And like,
they're on the plane, they're on the private plane back from the island, and then they land to news.
Or like they walk in, like they each get home to their individual apartment. I don't think they should be together when it happens. I think it's like they're each show, like walking in, setting their bags down in their kitchens, and like bring, 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 like they each check their phones, and it's just, oh my god, like something has happened.
Maybe Smith canceled his bachelor party because he was feeling sick, like he got the flu or something. But really it's like he's just been like slowly slipping back into addiction,
and
she just hasn't seen it and like kind of missed it
because she's been so busy planning their wedding.
And they've both been like really busy, and it's just like kind of like, it's just a ton of little things that once it finally, like the tragedy strikes, it's like, oh my God, how could I have missed all these things? But when they're happening just little by little, you're just like, oh, okay, he's sick. Like, totally take a breather. Like, cause for a bachelor party, it's like, well, you don't even party anyways. And it's kind of just whatever.
Exactly.
So it's fine. And then really he was like, I think Samantha gets home to like the full emergency scene at their like beautiful Tribeca loft.
Oh my God.
And she's just like, what? And then it realizes that it's for her man.
Oh, I'm getting emotional.
And then she like falls to the ground.
She fully collapses.
This is so sad.
But it's going to get good.
Okay. So then,
so at this time, I feel like this is when,
this is when Big visits the set. Of,
I feel like he should have, I feel like we should backtrack a second. I feel like he should have visited right before they left.
Okay, yeah. He like, visits right before they leave.
And it's like, look at what, like, can you believe this is, you know, like kind of her trying to justify her distance and, you know, showing him like the fruits of her labor.
Yeah.
And her new life as this producer and TV writer.
And he's interested, but also it's kind of like he doesn't care that much. Like he just wants to be with her and he wants her to be happy.
Exactly.
But he also like wants to spend time with her.
Yes.
And I think Carrie introduces him to like Carrie.
Yeah.
And she's like, and then Big and Jennifer Lawrence like have their moment or whatever. Yes, like handshake and like a funny one off. Exactly. Or whatever.
And she's really funny, so she'll make him laugh immediately. Yeah.
And I think Carrie, like Bradshaw, the real one, she gets like called away by someone. They're like, oh, can you come approve this like wardrobe stuff? And so then we get Big and Jennifer Lawrence alone at the craft services table and we see them. Like,
and she needs to be like, do you mind if I smoke? Because she's like fully smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
And like, it's that needs to be a thing.
And he sees this woman who essentially is what his wife was when they first started dating. And that's the woman he fell in love
with. Her phone needs to ring and she needs to hit ignore and just keep looking him in the eyes and having a conversation. Mm-hmm. Like her phone needs to like clearly ring and she's just like, ugh, ignores it. And then she's like, he just keeps going. And that's like a moment for him.
But. Yeah. And I think she's also like in character to some extent.
Absolutely.
Like she's a character actor, like for the purposes of this, like, she's a character actress and like blah, blah, blah. And yeah. And so they are like.
And we already know he has a weakness for actresses.
Mm-hmm. Like he loves an actress.
Crazy about me. Like, yeah. So that's a weak spot for him.
Totally. And so we just like it plants the seed of like they're having like something, or they just like have a vibe.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it just needs to be us seeing him noticing what Carrie used to be, what or what his relationship with the dynamic, what that dynamic used to be.
Yeah. And then like he sits in, even if it's just like their conversation is brief, then he's on set like watching a scene between Carrie and Big, and then he's watching like their relationship,
watching their seduction.
Yeah.
And like
Their first date where she's wearing the naked dress.
Yes.
And they it like needs to be are the on
exact
the floor.
Dress.
Yeah. And it's the exact dress, like the exact thing, and like sharing a cigarette like on the floor.
Exactly.
And then Carrie's like, are you proud of me? Like, isn't it like it's cute, right? And then he's like,
you did good, kid.
Yeah, you did good, kid. Cute. It's sexy as hell. Like, can't wait to get you home later. Like, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, he's like, can I take you for dinner tonight? And she's like, sure. But then, of course, she has to be on set late and like canceled. Misses their dinner, like cancels. So he's still just getting like blown off for this like show, which is her new love.
Yes. And then she goes to the bachelorette party.
Then she goes to the bachelorette party. And then when Samantha gets back, Smith is gone.
He's gone.
He's gone.
And that's the ripple effect that would have just in their friend group. I think the really next pivotal scene after that is I honestly think that Carrie needs to look at Big's phone on her way out the door to the funeral. Like he's still in the bathroom getting ready and she's like, honey, we gotta go. We're gonna be late. We cannot be late for this. And his phone buzzes and she looks and it's Jennifer Lawrence.
It's Jennifer Lawrence texting him like,
and she
a sultry set pic.
And she greets the thing and he's calling her kid.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be calling her kid. And it doesn't even need to be super explicit on his end because I don't think they ever actually had sex.
No.
I think what's more devastating to Carrie is to see this emotional relationship and like he's literally calling her kid.
Yeah.
And I think we just need to see a few scrolls of this conversation and it land with a hey kid like previously in the conversation, and it's enough for her to drop the phone as only Carrie Bradshaw could do and
run away,
like, and take two steps toward the bathroom and then just runs out the door and she's gone.
Yeah.
And she doesn't have her phone. Like she is,
I think
gone.
She pukes in a trash can, like on the street.
Yes. No, yeah. She absolutely does.
She like gets down to the street and vomits. And then hails a taxi and you think that she's going to the funeral, but she's actually going to her old apartment. Yeah.
And she's sitting in her old apartment.
And she just is like curled up in bed crying.
Staring at the wall, watching the sunset.
Yeah. And we pan over to the funeral.
And there.
And there is everyone plus Samantha and no sign of Carrie.
None.
No word.
And Big
nothing.
Even shows up. Like he's there. And yeah. They all look at him like, I feel like Miranda and Charlotte look at him like, what the fuck? Where is like... Where is she?
Yeah.
And he just kind of has he to get a shrug.
Like, yeah. He thought that she was with them.
I don't know. And Samantha, she's not even conscious.
Like she's like catatonic.
She's weeping. Like, yeah. She is so devastated and they're propping her up, like looking over at him. And, mm-hmm. and I mean, I feel like they need to all sit and like it needs to be whoever is, you know, not a priest or, but whoever is overseeing the ceremony needs to be like, we're brought here today. And like, a slow like fade out
yeah.
on that.
Mm-hmm. So then
I'm so devastated right now.
No, it's really sad. It's really, really sad.
I'm so devastated talking about this.
So then I feel like it's like some time has to pass. Like it's like if that was like
Do you think she should hole up in her apartment with no phone and cutting off the world? Or do you think that she should get on a plane and go to Paris? Like by herself, like.
So is she leaving her show? Like,
I think
they shot the pilot. Maybe they shot the pilot.
Okay, that's perfect.
And so they're waiting to hear if it gets picked up or not.
Yes.
And that's in the meantime, kind of when they're on hiatus in between like the pilot and the pickup announcement. Mm-hmm. That's when she finds out this thing about Big.
Yes.
And
also it would be really good during Samantha's bachelorette party mm-hmm. for Carrie to keep turning it back to like, and I just finished my pilot. Like she's still like trying to spin the celebration back onto her a little bit.
And we like, see Samantha kind of like,
I feel like Samantha always takes it with grace.
She
would be like, fabulous start. Like she would toast her at her own bachelorette getaway weekend.
Totally.
And be like she would give Carrie that because mm-hmm. they always do.
They always do. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think Carrie just like cuts herself off from the world and
because nothing's more important.
Yeah, because nothing's more important. And does she run away?
That's what I'm wondering, because she either holds herself up in her apartment or she goes to Paris. And I don't know.
I think she holds herself up in her apartment. And I think Big comes there because he figures like that's a place where he would look for her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have like an explosive fight.
And he needs to be like, nothing ever happened. I never touched her. I never even saw her again after the blah, 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 after we met.
And yeah. And like, we just texted like we texted in character. She's an actress. She was texting me as you. Like, which I don't know how she got my number.
Like, I feel like that's a topic too. I love that. I don't know how, because
it's like, okay, come on, like,
yeah.
Fuck off. Like, this is bullshit. Like, why are you lying? And he's like, I'm not. Like, she just did. So I was going with it. My responses. They're like,
yeah.
One word response.
You called her kid.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be so good. But she, like, I also love.
And then she's like, you're just bored. You're like, you have nothing better to do than just
sitting
try
around
to fuck
the house.
Up my life. Like, and it's like, that is so not what's happening,
exactly.
Carrie. Like, you're totally misreading this situation yet again.
And I love that this is a moment, because I feel like is sexting cheating would be a full
yes.
episode of the series in like in the era before that was even a thing. Like mm-hmm. that would be a big topic. Like
yeah.
like he was sexting, but he didn't fuck her, but Carrie's still devastated. And you know, so I feel like that would be something that the show would have explored in ages past. So I love that.
Totally. And I think also like Samantha has snapped out of her grieving process like really quickly
mm-hmm.
and is now just like fucking every single man that is in sight. Like she's on a rampage.
Oh, yeah.
She's on like a grief sex rampage.
Oh, that's so dark.
It's dark, but it's like,
it's what she would do.
It's a real like response.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
And so then I think it's like, but I think she also, that could tie into like, is sexting cheating or is this mm-hmm. cheating? Like, and like the concept of like ghosting.
Yeah.
Like, cause maybe I think Miranda and her like Arabella, they start having like these lunches together.
Yes.
And like they get and a little more
further
intimate.
And further and further each time, mm-hmm. to the point that Miranda is like fantasizing about it. Like Miranda needs to fully have like a masturbation scene. Like it's like she's going there. Like Steve catches her masturbating in the middle of the night and it's like a thing, mm-hmm. you know? And
And she's like, even like she can't come while they're having sex unless she's like, I'm fantasizing about Arabella. Yes. And we see it's kind of like Charlotte's fantasy about the gardener.
Yes.
Like if it's like Miranda's fantasy with like her hot lesbian boy. And then
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah. And then I think Charlotte is like, what's her like cheating or whatever? Like we would need to give her like a funny, like cheating on her hairstylist with another hairstylist.
Yes, that's exactly what it would be, the hairstylist.
Yeah.
And like having the like being caught and
yeah, oh my God, like a bad haircut. Like the comedic element is like, yes, Charlotte gets banged accidentally.
Oh my God, I'm getting so heartsick that I can't like go on HBO Go tonight and watch this.
I know, it's sad. We're doing really good work here.
Yes, the Lord's work.
So Samantha is like really like she's really going for it, but then all the girls are kind of like, I guess we just let her do her thing.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely don't think, I think the next time that all four girls are in the same room together after the funeral, when once Carrie has like resurfaced, mm-hmm. and is like moving her shit into her old apartment, like she's gone, like she's like, she's done, she's divorcing him, like she is finished.
Yeah.
And I think the next time we see them all together is at the Scout opening, which is a huge deal for obviously Steve, but also like Miranda's rooting for this. She's like having a full like interior affair with Arabella, like she's invested.
Yeah, like, I think we need to have the Scout opening, like they need to open the Vegas one, like the huge Vegas outpost, so that there's like a travel moment.
Gotcha.
Just to keep things like spicy.
Gotcha.
And then we can have the girls in Vegas, which is like a hellish place. And then,
yeah, and they literally hell.
They can all have their like Vegas reactions. Yes. Kind of like the Atlantic City episode,
but times two. Yes, I love that.
And that's where like
we can get a Gaga cameo.
Yeah, I need a Gaga cameo. Celine Dion. Oh, like they God. Go to all the yes. shows, so Celine. We get all those. And then I think also Carrie and Samantha talk beforehand.
I feel like
Samantha forgives her. I mean, I think at like
Surface level. Super surface
level. Like, she's like, of course, honey. Like, I understand. And it's a hard thing. Like,
yes,
it's a hard thing for everyone. And I don't judge. And it's kind of like, I feel like what's not being said, because they're all up to date on what's going on with mm-hmm. each other's drama, because they've been like having brunch all the time, yeah. and catching up. So, like, they're all aware that like Charlotte is insecure about like her mm-hmm. relationship with Lily. They're aware that Miranda is having this like weird, lesbian affair.
Has Miranda told them?
I think she has.
You think so? Okay.
I think for the purposes of just like them knowing and it leading up to like a very climactic, like confrontational scene.
Gotcha.
They all are aware of each other's like drama.
Gotcha.
Or maybe not Miranda's.
I feel like she hides it. I feel like this is the first time with any of them that she has been like too ashamed to say anything, okay. or too confused.
Yeah,
like she's so unsure herself. I don't think she's brought it to the girls. I don't think she's even brought it to Carrie.
Okay, I like that.
And you know, I feel like in those conversations when they're all pouring their hearts out with their drama, it's like the three of them look at her and she's like, things are fine.
Yeah,
things are fine. You know, I'm really happy
for the first time. Like, good.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're all like, oh, okay,
okay. Yeah. And then Samantha's obviously like totally reeling from grief, but like in denial. Like the walls are up. She's like fucking left and right.
Yes.
And like shit is just like, she's not in a good place.
They're meeting for like 10 a.m. brunch and she's like, shall we get cocktails? And mm-hmm. da da da. And like, and the girls are like,
she's like popping pills kind of.
Yes.
And like, it's just like not, It's not messy, but it's also just like not good.
It's enough to give the other girls pause. Like yeah. they're sharing pointed glances while she is like popping some pills with a mimosa on a 9 a.m. breakfast on a Wednesday.
But what her and Carrie are doing is basically having like an unspoken contract where it's like, I won't hold you accountable for like missing my funeral if you don't hold me accountable for the way I'm like handling my grief.
Precisely.
And so that's what really comes to a head at the Scout opening yes. in Vegas.
And I think what needs to happen at the Scout opening, preceding the big inevitable blow up confrontation, mm-hmm. I think Arabella needs to get Miranda, like they're in a back corner in the kitchen and it's fucking on. Like Arabella's had some cocktails and like Miranda's like up against a wall or like a rack of glasses. Mm-hmm. And for the first time, Arabella leans in and they kiss.
They kiss and then
and
Arabella
Steve walks
okay.
in.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Steve needs to walk in and is like, what the fuck? Like, actually says, like, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. Like, and it just can't even believe what he's seeing. And is.
Well, here's what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I want to take it to the next level, even. Okay. And, like, I think Arabella, like, they have, like, a kiss moment, like a steal away kiss moment in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then Arabella slips a room key into Miranda's pocket and says, like, or Miranda slips a room key into Arabella's pocket and Whoa. Says, like, I'm in room, whatever. Like, meet you there in 20 minutes.
Oh,
and
my God.
It's, like, during the party, so they know they can steal away. But then Steve walks into the hotel room as they're, like, in the middle of hooking up.
Oh, yes. And Miranda needs to chase him downstairs back into the part. Like, Steve is, like, Steve goes back. I feel like she needs to land back in the party because she yeah. needs to be running up exactly as this confrontation is happening with Samantha. Mm-hmm. Because Carrie...
I think Carrie and Samantha are making like digs at each other. They've moved into like passive aggressive, like.
Well, I think everything needs to end. I think.
This episode is called What Happens in Vegas.
It is. Oh my God. The blow up moment is Carrie literally needs to just like in passing, taking a shot. Like she's like in fuck it mode at this point. She needs to say, he's dead to me. About Big. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the moment that Samantha is like, how fucking dare you?
Yeah.
Like, that is the dam breaking. And she needs to literally like look at Carrie and say, it's always been about you, hasn't mm-hmm. it? It has always been about you. And it needs to have this moment. Like,
Samantha's like fucked up. Like, she's like drunk yes. and pilled out. So yes. she is just going off the
and
rails.
And she needs to call her a narcissist. And she needs to be like, and like, Miranda needs to be running back in, like, chasing Steve at this moment. And she needs to like grab Miranda. And she's like, all of us mm-hmm. have felt you taking our pain and turning it into you have never listened, you have never cared. Like, it needs to be the blow up of all blow ups that every Sex and the City fan has been like wanting to scream at the TV.
Yeah,
like it needs to go there. Mm-hmm. And I almost wonder if Samantha's so fucked up that she slaps Carrie.
I love, yeah,
like I
totally, why not?
Because I feel like for Carrie to have skipped the funeral and then say he's dead to me,
I think she slaps her when she says he's dead to me.
Absolutely.
And then that launches like the fight.
Absolutely.
And then Samantha like reads her to filth.
What, like through tears?
Through
like,
tears with the other girls flanking her. And then Samantha just like
pulled Miranda out from like chase, and Miranda's yeah. like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Like, just dead in her tracks, and she's lumped them all together and is like, how fucking dare you? We will not put up with it. Like, just this is Kim Cattrall's Emmy moment.
This is like, her moment. Yeah. And so then after Samantha gets done, like, just eviscerating Carrie, she breaks down and the other two girls have to like help her kind of get off, like take her out of the situation.
Yes.
And Carrie's left alone
holding her cheek
and a cocktail and like kind of looking around and realizing that everyone now is seeing her through the lens of like how her friends just said that she was. and it's a lonely.
And I think during that fight, Carrie needs to like, she needs to look at Charlotte and Miranda for like backup. And they're literally physically standing on Samantha's side.
Yeah.
And in that moment, like they can't defend her because they're looking at her like, you skipped her funeral.
You like, skipped the funeral.
Like we can't. Like, and you've done this our whole friendship. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter what, because truly, no, it doesn't matter what. Samantha had breast cancer, and Carrie still had the audacity to like sit down and talk about her shit.
Yeah.
Like, while getting chemo. Like, it just, it, that has always been their relationship, and mm-hmm. it's never been called out by any of them. And I feel like it's vital if this series comes back, they need to have a reckoning yeah. with that.
Wow. I'm like, I'm shook now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, core shaking
mm-hmm.
and I feel like Carrie needs to just
and like, Carrie needs to have like a long solo walk through Vegas and see
with the Bellagio fountains
and then like see other people who are like alone in this environment and be like have a real moment like yeah. a come to Jesus moment of being like what kind of person am I?
Because she's fully alone at that point.
Yeah.
She's lost her man and she's lost also the other loves of her life like mm-hmm. in that moment she is completely alone.
Yeah. And I think maybe like Miranda probably comes back to Carrie's room like late night because mm-hmm. she needs somewhere to sleep because Steve has like kicked her out of their mm-hmm. room. And then they can have like a real conversation about like Miranda's like, yeah, what she shouldn't have slapped you, but like everything else was pretty legitimate.
Yeah.
And then she can tell her about like what happened with Arabella and like that like adds a little bit more like levity to the situation.
Yeah. And Carrie actually listens for a sec. Mm-hmm. I also think on the solo walk around Vegas, like her phone needs to light up and it needs to be like, it's not looking good for the pilot. Like it needs to be like a moment yeah. of like HBO is probably not going to pick this up. And
yeah.
it, like that needs to happen at, she needs to be kicked while she is fully down.
Maybe she has a phone call with the other producer and they're like, I'm getting early feedback from HBO and yeah. they're really worried that Carrie is unlikable.
That's it. They're like, they're just worried that
they
Carrie
think she's so selfish and like, blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, fuck.
The producer needs to be like, did we write Carrie as a narcissist? Is she a narcissist? And like, it just,
yeah.
She's so, I love
like,
it.
It's just, she's getting lampooned yes. now by like every single element of her life.
Yes.
And then they all go back to New York.
Separately.
And
I feel like for the first time, Samantha goes into therapy.
Yeah.
Especially after slapping Carrie. Mm-hmm. I feel like for the first time. And also, this is a good opportunity for the show to address, through the lens of Samantha, sex addiction.
Yeah.
And like, and her repressed, because everything that Samantha has done that has been destructive throughout the show has, it's like alluded to some sort of repressed something.
Yeah.
She, the times that she's talked about her childhood, it sounded kind of fucked up. Like there's always.
Totally. So,
like I feel like for the first time, like this is her being vulnerable in a different way. This is her being vulnerable for the sake of her own health, mm-hmm. for the sake of her own like mental health. And
absolutely. And I think that also Carrie starts going to therapy. I think that maybe they all start going to therapy.
That would be a good episode.
Yeah, and like they're all separately in like different therapy situations.
Yes, and talking like actually dealing with their shit.
Yeah.
Like I think that would actually, yeah, I mm-hmm. love that. I love that.
And then I think Samantha realizes like she's going to go away like on just like a retreat
yes,
of some sort.
Absolutely.
Like a silent, like sexless.
Yes.
Just like solo journey
yeah
towards like self-discovery and like getting back to her.
Maybe she checks into rehab because at this point like she's like we've seen that she's been popping pills
I
and
love
she's
that.
Also really jarred by the fact that she just lost her fiance, the love of her life, to addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like she would be responsible in this moment and check herself into rehab.
Yeah, like we see her in therapy and like some people over the course of the like therapy episode are getting like better.
Uh-huh.
Like I think Charlotte's in like couples therapy with Harry and then doing
and
therapy like, with like Lily and like trying
like
to work
through
everything.
She responds to the birth mother and is like, would love to meet. Did it, like, she yeah. has that moment where she finally responds to the email and, like, talks to her directly.
Mm-hmm. And then Miranda and Steve are in couples therapy, mm-hmm. like, sorting through what happened with mm-hmm. Arabella. And maybe we find out that, like, Steve isn't that mad about it. Like, he's more mad about the deceit factor.
The fact that he.
But, like, not as mad about, like, the actual sex.
Because I don't think he would be. I think he'd actually be pretty cool and be like, Miranda, if you need to figure this out, like, I feel like he would be like, wow. Like, I feel like he would,
like,
actually...
do you want to leave me? And she's like, no, I don't want to leave yeah. you. Like, we're married and I love you. And, like, but... I don't know.
This would also be a really good time for the show to circle back on bisexuality, because mm-hmm. the only time it was ever addressed in the show was so problematic.
Oh, yeah. Like, totally.
It was so, like, irresponsible. And I feel like this would be a good opportunity for the show to kind of circle back
right,
on bisexuality and be like, wow, this is, like, a super valid thing. And a husband being very loving and, like, even though he was just deceived, like, handling it with the tenderness and respect that only Steve could handle that.
Yeah.
Like, only Steve on the show could be so respectful to Miranda after having just been kind of cheated on.
Yeah. And I think that we can also explore, like, the cheating aspect of, like, well, when women hook up, sometimes people don't think, or if it's the same sex hookup, like, mm-hmm. is it cheating or not? And, like, some people think that, like, two women hooking up when one of them's in, like, a heterosexual relationship yeah. isn't necessarily cheating. And then just, like, open up a dialogue yeah, about that.
Definitely.
And then, like, maybe they decide to, like, make some ground rules or, like, open up their relationship.
Yeah.
Where exploring. It's like, honesty is going to be essential, like, moving into this next phase of our marriage. Like,
I love the notion of the show exploring an open relationship.
Yeah.
Especially with Miranda.
And a true, like, open marriage mm-hmm. because they've now been married, like, 15 years or yeah. something. And, like, their therapist can even say, like, lots of couples go through this. Like, this is, like, where communication comes in and mm-hmm. so important. And then we see them, it's like they're not, like, making any rash decisions. Yeah. No one's leaving anyone.
Being super practical, as yeah. Miranda would be.
And, like, Steve is going to be traveling a ton.
Exactly.
And so, like,
the therapist needs to ask, like, what do you think is going to happen when Steve is gone 6 months out of the next year?
Mm-hmm.
Do you expect him to be celibate? You like these questions that Miranda really hasn't even thought of rationally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a good circle back from, you know, the first movie when he cheated, like, for her to be like, oh, wow, no, like, I am, you know, to have a moment where she's, like, comfortable and secure enough in her marriage to know that, like, that's her partner.
Yeah. I love it.
And I feel like at this stage, I feel like after the therapy and after, like, when Samantha, I feel like whatever episode this is needs to end with, like, like we talked about, like, the therapist is kind of, like, bringing up these sort of, like, resolutions for them or these mm-hmm. sort of breakthroughs. That episode needs to end with Samantha checking herself into rehab.
Yeah.
Like, she has fully acknowledged there's a problem, and that can just be, like, the close of that episode is mm-hmm. her checking in.
And I think we see, like, the next episode, it's like Big is living, like, Samantha is living in rehab and Big is living in a hotel.
Yes.
And he and Carrie are, like, not in touch.
And I think this is when Charlotte asks Miranda and Carrie to go to China with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like she's been in communication and she knows that she can't bring Harry and Lily, especially, like, she can't bring her family, but, like, she knows they're going through a tough time, but she, like, asked them for their support. And, like, I think Miranda and Carrie are both like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. we need this. We need to get our heads. Let's go to fucking China.
Yeah. So they go to China.
Yes.
And I think Carrie probably tells Big, like, I'm going out of town. Like, feel free to get some stuff from the place, like, yeah, while I'm gone exactly. or whatever. And then they all go to China and meet Lily's birth mother, yes. who I think she is like a single, like, unmarried woman with no children.
And I feel like this is also a good moment because, you know, one of the things that I loved, but it was also such, like, a critical flaw of the second movie mm-hmm. is that you want these characters to experience opulence.
Yeah.
Like, you love, like, those opulent moments are so incredible and like they just like light you up. But I feel like this is a good opportunity, especially because I feel like Charlotte would have had presumptions about who and what Lily's birth mother is. And then it's totally blown because like she's upgraded all of their tickets to first class on Air China, and she's like upgraded all their suites. Like she's taking care of Charlotte upon arrival, and yeah. It's like, whoa, who is this person? And she's like an executive, like she is like a powerful woman, and is like I feel like they should be meeting her at some sort of event, like. I want to see them get dressed up in China. Like,
yeah.
Despite everything that's going on in their lives.
There's always time to get dressed up in China.
Always time for a dress. Yeah. Like, there's always time for, like...
They go to a gala, exactly. Or it's, like, yeah. Some sort of big, like, dinner type of event, yes. Of whatnot. Yeah.
Like, the bank is celebrating, like... 50 years or whatever it is, and like she's like the president of it, and I feel like that would be such a good opportunity for her to where she finally meets Charlotte and her friends.
Yeah.
And you know, I think
maybe they have like a lunch at first or something, and then she invites them all to come to this like gala later on.
I love that. Love that. Or they have a lunch in China, just themselves.
Yeah, and, like, Charlotte the and the woman.
I
think maybe they have like a meeting just one-on-one. And then Charlotte mentions that she did bring like a couple friends with her for like moral support. And then the woman's like... tell me about it. Like, I need my girlfriend. Like, my girlfriends are the most important thing to me.
Exactly.
Like,
I would be able to survive without them.
Why don't you come to this, like, event tonight?
Yes.
Bring them. Like, we can all hang out.
Yes.
And then they get to hang out with, like, all these fabulous women.
Yes.
And it's, like, an international Sex in the City.
Yes.
Where and we like, just see
seeing
that, like,
their Chinese
women
counterparts.
Being friends,
yes.
Yeah, is so important.
Yes.
And that's when...
And also, it needs to be for Chinese women and the three American girls. And it needs to be a moment of recognition of, like, this isn't the same without her. And also, I really feel like Charlotte needs to have an explicit line, like, it's just not the same without her.
Mm-hmm.
Also, kind of, like, addressing... Kim, like in a more meta sense,
totally.
Like they need to have a moment of like, y'all can't be doing this without her. So like, it's, I feel like she should actually have a line that's like, it's just not the same without her here.
Yeah. And then I think like when they go back, like, or Carrie comes to, I think the realization too, that it's like, she needs to apologize and like, she needs to humble herself and like make an effort, like go visit
and really realize
Samantha and make it right.
I feel like China is a big moment of realization that her friends' problems are real too, like they're as real as them as hers are to her, and I feel like that should be a big wake-up call for her, like shifting out of this like mindset or perspective that like Big cheated on her and he's an asshole and Samantha got drunk and slapped her, she's an asshole, of being like, oh, these people all are experiencing things that I've inflicted upon them, or like, you know, they have their own feelings and it's not all just about me.
Yeah.
And I think too, also the end of this trip, I feel like it's a good full circle moment for Charlotte, because, you know, Charlotte gave up her career to have a family, and she meets a woman who gave up her child for her career.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that also, especially because this show, you know, speaks a lot about women, I feel like that's a really interesting juxtaposition to have Charlotte at that moment of like, oh wow, and this woman being like, you did something that I couldn't do, you know, as Charlotte's like so overwhelmed by all these things that she did that she felt like she could never do. And so like, you know, kind of like a reckoning of her inadequacies and really like taking a moment of her own self-worth and being like, oh wow, no, you're right, like I did raise her, like oh my God, like that has been my life's work.
And maybe this woman, Lily's birth mom, what's her name? We need to name her.
Ooh, Xiaolin.
Okay. Xiaolin, played by...
what's her name? Fang Bingbing? What's her name?
But she, Fang Bingbing.
I think she's, because there was an actress who just like, it was like this mysterious, she like disappeared from tax evasion. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be, I think it would be really cool. Also, please forgive me if I, A, didn't
pronounce her name correctly. No, I think you're correct in that. Yeah, she needs to make her comeback.
Yeah, and also I would love it showing her as like super rich and like running a bank.
Yeah. So I think there could be a point where she and Charlotte are talking about Lily and like Charlotte's showing her like after the kind of formalities have worn off and they're getting a little bit more real, like they're a little bit drunk and like Charlotte reveals that like Lily has a bit of like discipline problems and like has had some trouble with the law and like has smoked some pot. And then like, and then I think Shaolin says, oh, I was a nightmare as a teen too. Like I really like, and then it makes Charlotte just feel a lot better where she knows like, oh, this.
They should have that conversation at the lunch beforehand. And she talks about like what a nightmare she was to her mother. And then we need to see her mother at the gala. And she's like, and she needs to see how close they are. Mm-hmm. Like her mom needs to come up and she needs to like kiss her on the cheek. And she needs to be like, I'm so proud of you. And like, she needs to have that moment where she just earlier heard about what a nightmare she was to her mom. And then see, oh, years later, look where they are now.
Yeah.
Like, and that needs to like click with her.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Because it's like a mother-daughter relationship is not defined by what happens when the daughter is 16. Mm-hmm. Like, and that also needs to be a moment of like, oh, this is a part of the process. Like, I am a real mother. I'm just going through what mothers go through.
Mm-hmm. And so do they leave it on like a level of like, Shaolin's like, tell Lily to email me sometime.
Yeah, I think I think that's where it leaves off. I think it's more for Charlotte because I think Shaolin is like, she's there. She's not, clearly she's not going to stop her life. She's got her shit going. She's not going to travel over there. She doesn't have time. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's, you know, if she ever wants, I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. Love that.
And Charlotte's like, This is an incredible person. Like, this is somebody that Lily should know and like kind of leaves with a moment of like being proud that she got to be a part of this woman's life in a way, you know, like that she, you know, is the mother of her biological daughter. Like, I feel like Charlotte leaves in a moment of like pride in herself and, you know, like what she's accomplished.
Perfect.
Because I also feel like earlier in the season too, she would be having moments of like, I gave up like running galleries for like this life and I'm not even appreciated. Like my daughter hates me. Like my husband, like we fight because he takes my daughter's side. Like what did I give up my career for? And I feel like that should be like a big arc for her.
Totally.
That kind of really comes to a resolution there.
And I think also while they're all doing this, Samantha's having her own kind of parallel rehab journey where she's meeting other people and like getting to know their stories and getting kind of like mirrors held up to herself as well.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I feel like she should absolutely meet an older woman who was the fully sexually liberated, but also kind of realized that she had an addiction of some sort. Like she needs to meet herself who's older than her.
She needs to meet herself, and then maybe even there's like another famous person in rehab that knew Smith. That can kind of like,
it needs to be like his co-star who was partying with him.
Yeah. Like it, way back in the day.
Oh, I was going to say like, like it needs to be like,
whoa, that's heavy.
Yeah. It needs to be like the person who was there. Like,
that's heavy. I'm in. It's just intense.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to be in rehab with that person.
I know. But I feel like it also presents a good opportunity for, you know, for
growth,
Kim,
and acceptance of just like addiction as a gnarly fucking thing to have to deal with. And it's not this person's fault.
Yeah. And for Samantha, because Samantha is coming to terms with her own addictions and her own, you know, systems of denial. So I think that's a really good lens to see everything through. And I also feel like it provides a moment of a lot of comedy, like if she has an older version of herself there.
Yeah.
like in its heaviest moments, the show still is a comedy and it still takes it back to there. And I feel like no matter what, Samantha's still
Maybe the older woman, the older version of Samantha and Smith's friend are fucking in rehab. And they're totally like not like Samantha's there to like do the program and
they're
stuff.
Not doing
and
it.
Then she just sees like the maybe like the worst parts of her and Smith's relationship
and needs to hear like
reflected back to her, and she's just like ugh, and like, and it's just like a humanizing moment for everyone.
Absolutely. Okay, absolutely. That. I want to know who is playing older Samantha. Who is this woman?
Oh my God. Maybe Jane Fonda.
That's exactly who I was thinking. Okay. It needs to be Jane Fonda. It like fully needs to be. And she needs to be like, I feel like she needs to be like super bombastic. Like the makeup needs to be loud. Mm-hmm. And it, like it's, the outfit is like really questionable. Like, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah. But like also really fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. I kind of want you as my grandma, but I'd also kind of be a little afraid of you.
Like, I think she made her fortune by like having like selling jewelry or selling home stuff on HSN. So she's like a home shopping network.
Or she launched like a line of diet pills. Mm-hmm. Like she needs to be like a diet pill
heiress,
empress. She needs to be like, she has to be like the czar of diet pills that get like tacky advertisements on TV in the middle of the night.
It's like Dexatrim,
ever heard of it?
Trim spa. But like the version of it that you could put on like TV.
Yeah, exactly. That's like at Walgreens.
Okay, so I love that.
I want her spinoff.
Yeah, and she's like addicted to amphetamine.
And she's like snuck Adderall in.
Yeah, like, she's fully snuck Adderall in. She's like amazing and funny, but like might be like she is like real serious problems. Yeah. And like is fucking this guy who was like partying with Smith, like with one of Smith's like lower level friends.
Yeah.
And like Samantha really, it's like a journey in like accepting herself.
Mm-hmm.
And also accepting that like some things are beyond her control.
Absolutely. I feel like the person who is partying with Smith, I feel like he needs to be the person who kind of is, he like, I feel like he was Smith's gateway to like a relapse. Like he needs to be like a hot up and comer dude. And like Smith was trying to like keep pace with him, you know, like he needs to be like the hot actor in town. Like, and it's kind of his fault that like Smith fell off the wagon, like that he was no longer sober.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that would give such a dramatic moment for Kim that like would entice her as an actor, like taking on this role again.
Yeah.
Like having that moment of like, oh wait, how is Samantha going to like handle this,
mm-hmm.
being in there with the guy who basically caused her man to relapse,
totally,
and inevitably, like pass away, die.
So the girls get back from Hong Kong.
Yes.
And Carrie has to figure out like what the best way is to apologize. Or they get back from Hong Kong, and then also it's like around the same time that Samantha's like rehab stint is ending, and she's like transitioning back into her day-to-day life.
I feel like we need to see Carrie, and you don't understand why, but she gets on the phone with production and like she asks to like meet up with one of the editors, or like she's like, we just see that she's like calling in a favor, mm-hmm. with the show.
Okay.
And we don't understand fully what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And are we showing them getting back to like their regular lives at this point? Is she reaching out to Big?
I think that it's like Carrie, there's still no word on whether or not the show's like picked up.
Yes.
And
I think she should show up to his hotel with like the bag of McDonald's.
Okay.
Like, I feel like she needs to like knock and he needs to open it up and she needs to like have the bag of McDonald's.
So is she like making amends with people at this point?
I think so.
Okay.
I think she's really kind of been like,
she's like, I had some work to do. I think in China we have a moment where she like goes to a temple or something.
Absolutely.
And like has like a spiritual like awakening.
Yes.
So now she's back. She's like making amends. She goes to the Ritz or wherever the fuck, mm-hmm. Big is staying. And she shows up with the McDonald's and is trying to be like cute and apologetic. And I feel like maybe he's not having it.
Yeah.
And he's like, you really hurt me. Like kind of reads her.
Yeah.
And is like, you don't trust me. You dismiss me as like this old retired guy that's trying to like mess with you.
And like all I've ever wanted is
for you to be happy and to be with you. And that's why I do everything. That's why I was like texting with fucking what's her face, who just started texting me literally out of nowhere.
Because it felt like you.
Because it felt like you.
I felt like I had you back. Do you want to know why?
At first he's like, you know, I did it because she's playing you. Like, I want to help. Like, she says it helps. But then also there was an element of like, I felt like I had you back in my life. Mm-hmm. And it was like hearing from you again, and like, you wouldn't go to Paris with me. You're always on your phone. Like, I feel like the roles have been totally reversed.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And we got to get on an equal playing field, kid, or else this ain't going to work.
Yep.
And then she's like, totally.
I think she just needs to say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, for the first time ever, she needs to look at somebody and just say, I'm sorry, with no caveats.
Like, yeah.
She, and like, know that she means it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he should hug her, and I feel like Moon River should play.
I'm in.
Yeah, like.
So Samantha's like clearing all the booze and like poppers and like random shit out of her house.
Yes.
She has like a sober living coach.
Yes.
Who's really chic.
She should have a live-in. Mm-hmm. Like a live-in sober companion.
Yeah.
I feel like that would make a good episode.
Yeah. And I think Carrie comes over to like apologize.
The favor thing, when she calls production to ask for a favor, I feel like everything should be building up to, oh, well, if we don't know about the pilot.
Well, I think really after she and Big kind of reunite, then she gets a call and they say like, we have good news. Like the pilot,
yes,
like they've picked it up. They want 10 episodes,
yes,
first season. They want a little bit of tweaking too. Mm-hmm. And she's like, good. I was thinking the same thing. Like, let me meet. Like, let's meet tomorrow and we'll.
Exactly. Yeah. And it would bring it back full circle when they give her the note that Carrie is unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
Because that plays into my idea for the reconciliation with Samantha.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe there should be like some sort of a time jump or something, because I feel like the big resolution needs to happen on the night of the premiere.
On the premiere, yeah.
Because I feel like at this point, even though Samantha, I also feel like Samantha would take some time away from the friend group to be healing,
yeah,
on her own, working on her shit in the city.
And like, I think that like she and Miranda and Charlotte have seen each other.
Uh-huh.
Like they've been in touch, but she just has not been in touch with Carrie.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily know how much Carrie has tried to reach out at this point, but
they've taken space.
Yes. And it's, and we know it. And it's now time. It's the night of the big premiere. The girls want to know, like, Carrie, did you invite her? And she's like, I did. I don't know if she'll show up. I don't, you know, and like, they're really hopeful. And it's like the night of the premiere and a messenger arrives at Samantha's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a DVD,
mm-hmm,
with a post-it that's like, I'm sorry. And Samantha puts in the DVD and it's a scene. It's literally Carrie and Samantha.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to go and find the scene that it would be, but it needs to be a real scene that we all watch.
Yeah.
And it gets flipped. And it's one of those moments where Carrie would have steamrolled someone else's genuine problem to talk about herself. And it gets flipped. And Carrie needs to be like, I'm so sorry. I cannot believe that. Like, it needs to be the moment of seeing, like, Samantha Jones needs to be watching Carrie Bradshaw and Samantha Jones have the interaction that she's never gotten to have with Carrie Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs to be loving. And Carrie needs to be like, I love you. And like, you just see Samantha tear up. Like, you just see that moment. And then it cuts to the premiere and the girls show up without Samantha. She's not there and they have to walk the red carpet and you're seeing Carrie, Miranda, and Charlotte walk a red carpet for Sex in the City, the TV show. Mm-hmm. And it's a pink carpet. And like, they're taking pictures and they're all just, they're kind of half in it because Samantha's not there with them. And they're like, you know, it's like they're trying to celebrate, but it's
and the photographers are like, where's Samantha? Yeah. Where's Samantha?
And like, Carrie, a couple by yourself. And like, mm-hmm. where's the other girl? You know, like, it's supposed to be four.
Yeah.
And like, and the screening happens and then the after party is happening and it's lavish and beautiful. And it's just, you know, it's cosmos and shoe cakes and like all the stuff. And it's super meta just mm-hmm. because you're like, whoa, we're falling into like a black hole of Sex in the City here.
Totally.
It's so.
We also get the
inception.
Four actresses playing
yes.
the girls on the pink carpet as well.
And I think we get a moment there with Jennifer and Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly what that moment is, but it needs to be
they
somewhat.
Pose together.
Yes, exactly.
And then I think Carrie's like, stay away from mystery. Yeah, like just kind of a little bit.
And just, I feel like she takes ownership of herself at there. I don't think it needs mm-hmm. to be said for Mr. Big. It's like, just don't forget who the real Carrie Bradshaw is.
Yeah.
Like that's her like reclamation of herself.
Totally.
And Jennifer Lawrence is like, oh, yes, ma'am. Like, like she's been put in her place.
Yeah.
And knows exactly what the fuck she's talking about in that moment. And like, I think the party needs to wind down and they're, you know, like recalibrating as friends and it's emotional. And Samantha still hasn't shown up and Carrie really can't believe it because she thought that that gesture would do it. And like, they stay to the bitter end. Like, people mm-hmm. are like packing away the chairs and like, you know, they're kind of holding hands and walking out. And Big has said that he'd, you know, meet her at the house later to
yeah.
let her be with the girls. And like, they're leaving the event and like, they're starting to roll up the red carpet and there is Samantha all dressed up. And that is like their tearful reunion. And, you know, like that's when they really confess to each other, like, you know, like, you are the love of my life. And I, you know, like that's like the heartbreaking, beautiful moment. And that's when Carrie really gives her the apology.
Mm-hmm.
That, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I should have been there for you. I should have been there for all of you, like to the other two, like they get looped in.
You've been there for me. Look how amazing you've made my life. Like,
yeah, and it's literally
given
look
me look like at the story of a lifetime.
Yeah, look at what our story is.
Yeah.
Look at what you've given me.
And I want to do the same for you.
Yes. And a photographer is walking. It's like the last photographer at the, like the Getty Images photographer at the party is mm-hmm. like leaving and futzing with his memory card. And she's like, oh, can we get just one? Like the lights are shut off, but they have like the step and repeat with
yeah.
the carpet that's starting to be rolled up. She's like, can we just get one? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. Is it like my memory? Like he holds up his memory card and Charlotte's like, she's like, oh no, just here. And like hands him her iPhone and they all go in front of the Sex in the City step and repeat and take a picture. And it's the four of them. And that's the end.
Yeah.
Perfect. But then it needs to have like the button, like it needs to have like like the actual end is like then it's back with them at the diner, like
yeah.
laughing and like it's like something at the nighttime diner with their French fries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like everything's I think Samantha might pull like a she pulls like a bottle of champagne out and they're like they all take a moment and she's like it's sparkling grape water like don't worry
oh
about
and it,
it
needs
like,
to
like
go back
champagne.
And it needs like she needs to like it needs to like she needs to be like so Miranda are you eating pussy yet or what like
yeah.
and like you know it needs to be like that like circling back like she's been gone since they were in therapy and doesn't know if Miranda's like in an open relationship now and she's like going to like go when I was eating pussy let me tell you mm-hmm. like or like now the best thing you can like now focus on the clit like
yeah.
it needs to be like that like she's literally giving her advice on how to like eat Arabella out
mm-hmm. yeah and somehow Samantha knows the like Shaolin like when Charlotte brings it up she's like oh I know her she's fabulous
yeah exactly
like, and like it's like almost like she's never been gone
it,
and then you look beyond and her sober companion is like, sitting at a table like
the...
over there
exactly that's Marnie she's lovely
yeah I love it. I want to watch this now. I'm so sad I can't binge it.
I'm like teary right now.
Yeah, I'm shaking.
But just like the moment of it ending with them just getting like an iPhone picture.
It's a beautiful story.
With Sex in the City on this like pink carpet that's like getting rolled up with no lights on.
Yeah.
Like, but they're there holding each other in front of Sex in the City.
Mm-hmm.
I just.
God. I know. Beautiful.
It's so good.
HBO, if you're listening, make this.
Please get on this.
Kim Cattrall, if you're listening, make this.
You will get an Emmy. Like, you will get awards.
We promise you will get an Emmy.
Like, listen to what we've given you. Like, this is a journey, like, that you have dreamed of. Ugh, we're all dreaming of it.
We're rooting for you.
Just give us this gift. Happen.
Yeah.
Like, this is the formative television show of our lives. Don't leave us hanging.
Well, I'm putting this intention right into a piece of quartz.
Yes. Get our Sex of the City intention altars going.
Go.
We need to go to House of Intuition after this and buy
and
candles.
And get the candles. tell all the listeners where they can find you and what's going on. You have a single coming out.
My new single comes out on February 14th. Okay. It's called
Valentine's
Love.
Day.
Yes. And the single's called Love for Valentine's Day.
Love.
So, Love. So that drops on the 14th. And my name is Simon Curtis. I'm on Spotify and Apple Music under that name. I am at Simon Curtis on everything. Also, my book, Boy Robot, is out now. So you can buy that as well. So yeah, that's me.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on this podcast. This was a joy and a pleasure.
Honestly, this is my proudest moment right here.
I'm buzzing. Like,
me too.
I'm gonna have great dreams tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. This is like the honor of my lifetime.
If you like this podcast, please take a minute and give it a 5-star rating and leave a stellar review.
Yes.
Every little rating and review helps spread the word. Tell your friends and family. Tell Michael Patrick King. Tell Sarah Jessica Parker.
Tweet all of them
and tell Kim Cattrall that we need her.
And we love her.
We love her. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.